We know what you need. Here's another healthy dose of Bob and Tom Extra.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. We're looking for a slogan for the show. I think
the Bob and Tom Show. Don't stop believing. Yeah.
I think that may be taken.
No, is it taken?
What? Who would do that?
Who would take that?
We have
a bank. Maybe a bank.
Just a small town girl.
Huh. Yeah, he can sing.
Yeah, he can.
I gotta say,
he's pretty good.
I love the commercial where the guy goes, "We're having a journey moment, aren't we?"
That is
such
very
a
funny
great commercial.
Oh yeah. Bob and Tom, don't stop believing.
I gotta go.
All right.
We are looking for slogans. Lots of great suggestions for both the slogan for the show, and I realized over the weekend looking through some old papers that we never completed our quest for a Christie Lee slogan. That was in 2008, the year of the single Christie.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of
that
them.
Was a long time ago.
I know, and there were some good ones then, but they don't apply anymore because it's a lot of them rhymed with 2008.
Of course.
And so I don't think anything rhymed. Does anything rhyme with
2012?
2012.
Doesn't have much of a ring to it, does
no,
it?
No.
But
here's the only thing I can think of.
But a regular slogan. Here's one. Christie Lee, no jury on earth would convict her. That implies.
Oh, I think I think that's. She's going to do something to you, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm. To me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah, your body would be floating in some river somewhere.
How about this one? Surprised by that?
The Bob and Tom Show. The smell will subside.
Oh, my God.
Now with jokes.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Starting now. Right now. Right this second.
Right now.
With jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A number of them have themes, the morning wood type themes.
Yeah.
Bob and Tom getting you up in the morning.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I still can't read any from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one I read, and evidently I shouldn't have. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
We'll keep
them coming.
We'll keep reading these. Here's a good one for Christie.
Yeah?
Christie Lee, it's almost over.
Wow.
What's almost over?
That's not
over?
Good.
Wait a minute.
No.
That, you know, you have to kind of fill in the blanks.
I don't want it to be
Here's
over.
A good one.
Mm-hmm.
The Bob and Tom Show. If you're listening to this, what are they listening to in hell?
The Bob and Tom Show.
That's great.
How about this?
That's from Laurenton in Watertown, South Dakota.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
How about this for Christie? Christie Lee, walk-ins welcome.
Oh, my God.
Walk-ins welcome?
See, this is the kind of stuff I'm getting on Twitter over here.
Come on,
it's the only
people.
One he could read.
Wow.
I'm not a whore.
No, we know that.
How about
no
that?
No one said you
Christie
were.
Christie Lee, she's not a whore.
There you go.
Get right out there.
No.
How about Christie Lee, no vacancy.
There you go.
If the light's on.
Oh, man.
Well,
okay, now it's getting mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh
is.
No, it started mean.
No, let's get to some news with Christie.
All right.
Oh, I've got something.
Oh boy, I can't. What do you got?
From Key West, Florida, a 49-year-old grandmother and veteran endurance swimmer has scuttled her quest to become the first woman to swim unaided from Cuba to the Florida Keys.
Is this her third attempt?
I believe it was. Penny Palfrey unable to close the gap on the last 26 miles of a more than 100-mile ocean odyssey.
Man, that's a long way.
Implying she swam 75 miles, give or take.
Wow.
And the currents were very bad. That's what
Palfrey fought off jellyfish stings, kept an eye on hammerhead sharks. She attempted the crossing without a shark cage.
Oh, boy.
Her support team says those tricky currents of the Florida Strait proved to be her biggest obstacle, and according to her husband, they pushed her east so that she ended up losing ground just as she was very close to her goal. The British-born Australian athlete about three-quarters of the way into her swim when she gave up the effort at about midnight last night.
What's the – why go without the shark tank?
It's so heavy.
Yeah, you try swimming dragging a shark tank. I'm almost, surprised anyone.
He keeps taking her down, Tom.
Oh, made out of metal, you know.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Use your head. Come on.
Bob and Tom Show. Use your head. Come on.
Use your head.
I like
Come
that
on.
One.
There you go.
That's interesting. That she without. So do they? Do the boats around her?
They're not supposed. They can't touch her.
No, but do they fend away the sharks? I mean, can you do
Somebody
that?
Has to. I don't
They're
know how they do it.
Supposed to keep an eye on them, but I don't know.
What good's that going to do if one of them turns and goes for it?
I don't know,
man.
That's one of the risks you take, I guess.
Is there such a thing as real shark repellent? Don't they have some kind of sonic
yes,
thing?
And it's
that
in
they...
their bat utility belt.
Yeah, like bat shark repellent.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Well, Nice try, anyway. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Bob and Tom Show.
Good morning, radio pussies.
Hey, Captain Dave.
It's Captain Dave.
Captain Dave.
Hey, Captain Dave.
First of all, I've got a slogan for your show.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
The Bob and Tom Show. Radio pussies.
How about this? Bob and Tom Show. No change.
I love it, too. No change, no refund.
How about this? The Bob and Tom Show. Former home of Captain Dave. How about that?
Oh,
now you're getting testy.
I got it. We can combine. We can combine an earlier slogan.
Uh-huh.
We can do the Bob and Tom Show featuring Captain Dave now with jokes.
Clappy, get the shotgun.
Uh-huh.
Our slogan on the chum dumpster, though, is of course, get the on board and pay off.
Hey, Captain Dave, what's the story about this in the what is it between Cuba and Key West? Is it they?
Well, you didn't understand the whole story. She had a magnetic field buzzing around her.
Oh, is that right?
Toward the shark. You know, some of us are afraid to go into shark infested waters without a magnetic field buzzing about them.
That's
to
right.
Fend off hammerhead sharks and jellyfish. Mm-hmm. The so-called adventurous marathon swimmer who set out to swim from Cuba to Key West. You call hammerheads sharks? First of all, in my shark little guide that I've got, dangerous sharks, there's no hammerheads listed.
No.
They're under the section called pussy sharks.
There's a section called pussy sharks?
Yeah. Only great whites that are the real sharks.
I see.
And then on a swim of 107 miles, she quits. With 26 miles to go.
Yeah.
A marathon swimmer.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
It is.
She quits with 26 miles to go. That's either irony, or I think I've got one other word that covers it.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
She's a chicken.
Is that hyphenated? I think that might be hyphenated.
Is that chicken hawk? Is that what you said?
And jellyfish stings. Oh, how horrible is it to be stung by something, and yet you look down, and by golly, you got all fours still attached to
it. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you can't have a jellyfish sting on your arm because it's gone, right?
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
How did you dial this phone call?
I use my nose.
Wow.
Swimming from Cuba to Key West with two hooks for your arms and palm tree limbs for your legs.
Oh, my.
Every other stroke, you have to pull the fish off your hooks, and you damn near sink.
I'll bet.
I've had enough talking to you, pussy.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Captain Dave.
Thanks very much, Captain Dave.
Captain Dave, now with jokes.
Now with jokes.
Okay.
That's quite a feat. I could never do that.
Oh, well, that's a long way. Jeez.
I couldn't swim a mile.
Sure.
Wow.
I don't think I could.
No. Especially against the current. That's very, very, very hard.
Dragging a shark tank.
You want a fight starter story?
Uh-oh.
Heck sure. Yeah.
All right, here it comes.
Let's hear it.
On a Monday, top 10 lies men tell women.
Oh, all right. Here it is.
Holy moly. Really?
Yeah.
I'll do
one. Okay, let's see what we got.
This is interesting.
What? Oh, that's your lie? This is interesting?
Nice.
Uh-huh.
No,
wow.
Don't you say that every day to us?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
What are some of the lies that are in your article?
Lie number 10, I'm stuck in traffic.
Oh, come on.
Well, around
see,
here
now, from
lately,
now on, every guy
lie.
Who calls and says he's stuck in traffic, everyone's going to think he's lying.
He and figures it's much easier just to say this than to try to explain the real reason he's running late.
I see.
Have you driven around here lately?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, it wasn't that expensive. Men like their toys and they don't like sensing your disapproval, even if you don't share a bank account.
Yeah, guys always give the, what is it, 30%?
Well, you round down.
30%,
down to 30%
right?
Of the actual price.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was only $400.
It used to be worse, though.
Bob and Tom Show.
Bob and Tom, how you doing? It's got no food.
Hey, Tony.
You're looking for slogans.
Yeah, we are, actually.
Sure. Well, I got one that includes both Bob and Tom and Christy all in one.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
wrapped up like a nice little present. The Bob and Tom Show. We got Bush. Sure. It's just that easy, and you can say it again.
Bob and Tom, we got Bush?
We got Bush.
Oh.
It involves Christy, Bob, Tom, and Chick. Mm-hmm. Christy, you could use the one I use for my sister Janet.
What's that?
Christy Lee, the town pump.
Oh!
Hey, Chick, before I go, I didn't know if you could throw a shout out.
What?
It's my mother's birthday.
Oh, is it really?
Take
it
easy.
Happy birthday to Tony's mom.
I thought it was his mother's birthday last time he called.
It's her birthday every time.
Okay.
Olivia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Christy, you have this article, the top 10 lies men tell. Number 10 I'm caught in traffic.
This is called, this just says, the average dude fabricates something six times a day that's twice as often as women, And with lies men tell women trending on Twitter right now, some dudes are being called out. So you guys lie 6 times a day?
Well, wait a minute. You girls lie 3 times a day?
Apparently.
Wait a minute.
I don't know.
These numbers may vary, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah.
They've reached out to male relation experts, and here are the most common lies that guys. I'm stuck in traffic. It's easier to say than explaining why they're really going to be late.
I see.
It wasn't that expensive. Dudes like to buy gadgets and stuff. And women like to shop, too. Women... This is why I'm so glad I make my own money.
You started this.
I don't have to tell people how much I spend on anything.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the way. I'm on my way. Lie number 8.
Isn't that go with this? I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah. Well, guys usually throw this line in when they're making plans to meet you at some event they don't really want to attend, like, say, a family reunion.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 7, I didn't have too much to drink.
Usually it's slurred.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 6, 5, and 4 lies. 6, 5, and 4 pretty much all the same. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I missed your call. My battery died, and I had no signal.
Ah,
yeah.
Well, that's it. Yeah. That's
in other words, they mean the same thing. I screened your call.
Of course,
or it means I'm not a fireman. Could I have possibly a moment where I don't have to answer the phone?
Let me down.
Lie number 3. No, your butt doesn't look big in that, honey.
Well, every guy knows you don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
You mean anymore. Obviously, you said it once.
No, I mean in the history of man.
See, you learned, didn't you?
Yeah, that's a standard.
You dumbass.
Lie number.
You don't say that anymore. No.
You hear him walking in. My God, your ass is huge.
I can just hear him.
My new ringtone is.
Back it up.
Lie number 2. This will be my last beer.
Mm.
Our experts say that...
Till lunch.
Yeah.
This man lie delivered over the phone means he wants to get you off the phone as soon as possible so he can resume drinking with his buddies.
Uh-huh.
And lie number 1, which I think would probably be true with both men and women, no, nothing's wrong. I'm fine.
I'm fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, nothing.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. That's the biggest lie everybody
too.
Says. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Christy
Lee. Thank you so much.
How about 10 things you don't know about kissing?
Okay, go ahead. What do you mean don't know about it?
Well, I have to
wait.
I'm
pretty darn good at
it. Up here.
Let's see what you got.
You're very good at it, huh?
I'm very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my wife.
10 things we don't know about it.
There are tons of nerve endings in your lips.
I know that.
On your face.
Oh, come on.
Now they're on your face. Now they're on your shoulder.
While you wait for that, we have another special request.
He told her to go ahead.
I can't because
the
computer. Well, no, she can't. It's not. She doesn't have the story.
Here we go.
Oh.
There are tons of nerve endings in your lips, 100 times more than in your fingertips, that stimulate desire.
I believe that.
That's why kissing before, during, and after sex can be extremely arousing and satisfying.
Oh,
this
it
is
can
according
be.
To Cosmopolitan magazine.
Well, this is
oh, Cosmo. Okay.
Yes. 10 things you don't know about kissing.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought these were two girls kissing as a guy with long hair.
Can't tell if that's a girl or a guy.
40% of men say that a really long, steamy kiss will give them an immediate indication they're ready for sex.
I see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Blood rushing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It rhymes with direction. Which direction am I going?
Mm-hmm. 10 things you don't know about kissing. Pay attention to those see you later pecks. If your guy routinely only gives you a quick kiss on the cheek when saying goodbye, it could be he's guarded and doesn't emote easily.
On the cheek? What's the point? If you're going to actually get in there.
Well, that's the thing. The 10 things you don't know about kissing, they're not all good. If this is a more recent development, it's a warning sign he may be feeling a little bit ambivalent about the relationship.
I see.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I don't think I've ever kissed my wife on the cheek.
Mm-mm.
So I'm just going right for it. Got to get right in there and get it.
This
not
is
on
the,
her face,
the
anyway,
cheek
and
the
right?
face.
There we go.
Just to clarify.
If he's kissing
thanks,
your ass,
Tom, very
it's a
much.
Whole
yes,
thing.
Thank you very much. If he's kissing your ass, that means that you probably have a lot more money than he does, and
that
geez.
Will give you an direction.
It rhymes with direction.
Direction.
Oh, instantly turn up the heat and the intimacy by closing the A-frame. a kiss stance in which you and your guy are in the middle of the smooch, but your hips are a mile apart. By pressing your hips together, the degree of desire quickly rises.
I agree.
Yep,
get in there. Come on.
Okay, you lost me. This is like an exercise thing. What are you doing now?
You lost me at A-frame.
I'm thinking of a cottage on the beach. All right, now, here you are. You and your lady are standing right next to each other, okay?
Sounds like a physical assault here a little bit.
I know, it really does.
Get in there!
If you're doing a kiss where your hips are way far away from each other.
Just your faces.
I see her hips and your hips.
Get those hips in there. Grind them.
I thought it was some kind of exercise thing like a Kegel.
No, jeez.
Take your hips.
This is why you're having a problem.
Okay. I'm guessing you kiss whoever the hell it is. Peck on the cheek and one foot out the door is how you kiss her.
According to Cosmopolitan magazine, 10 things you don't know about kissing. Number 5, the best way to kiss a guy's ear. Do you know the best way?
I do not.
The best way to kiss a guy's ear. Oddly enough.
Don't really care to know.
I know that. I know the answer to this.
Oh, do you really?
Yes. Uh-huh. The best way to kiss a guy's ear, ladies, you should be naked.
Good one.
Actually, okay. You kiss and suck on his earlobe for a moment, then trace the outline of his ear with the lip, or the tip, rather, of your tongue.
Really?
Bonus points
then
whisper something naughty into his ear at the same time.
Mm.
And then take his hand.
Man, I swear these people.
Okay, I got that. But I don't need to use that, so what's next?
Men initiate open mouth kissing to transfer libido-boosting testosterone to their partner.
Oh. Is that how we do it?
So when he's getting a little more aggressive, it's not just about his desire. He wants you to be a bit more amorous, too.
I see.
So the French kiss, apparently.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah, whoever invented that, thumbs up.
The way this is written, though, it's like the next thing is going to say, then unbind her hands.
10 things you don't know about kissing.
Take her out of the van.
Have her brush her teeth to take away the taste of the chloroform.
Number 7. Yep. Men are more than twice as likely to have sex with a bad kisser than a woman. Well, that's because men will have sex with it.
Wait a second. I say that again.
A man will have sex with a bad kisser.
The men are more than twice as likely to have sex with a bad kisser than a woman.
And women like good kissers.
Women like good kissers, basically, is what it's saying. Men, they would...
They don't really care.
They don't really care.
they got other things to
worry
about.
Okay, just for the record, I know you people can't see this listening on the radio, but as Christy was reading that, Tom was yawning.
Yeah. I noticed.
I'm not saying it's not incredibly exciting.
More Bob and Tom Extra is coming up next. From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Add to or continue the conversation. Check out the Bob and Tom Show on Facebook. Get the link at bobandtom.com. Here's some extra. This is Bob and Tom Extra. It's time once again for people who suck at small talk.
Hey, nice weather we're having today, don't you think?
Yeah, it is rather amazing the cyclical manner in which meteorological trends manifest themselves.
Jeez, sorry I f***ing asked.
Join us again next time for People Who Suck at Small Talk.
Well, that was a good one.
Hello, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Good morning.
Good morning, thanks. Thanks very much for joining us. Welcome back to the
Bob
and Tom
Show.
I'm
just going to call the book... Off the air.
As he picks up this giant pen.
Earlier this week,
we came in and
someone took Bob's regular pen, and now he's using this ridiculously large pen.
And he loves it.
Well, I do.
No one will steal it. That's
true.
Maybe this is what they should use at banks instead of those little chains.
What a great idea, Tom.
The problem is if you write really fast and you forget where you are, you hit your microphone.
I've noticed that.
Thank you.
Right.
But if you think about it, with all of the great changes in technology and banking, the one constant is they still have that little chain in the pen.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Still never works.
Yeah, they can't put a shock device on it. I think that would drive customers away.
Like an invisible fence? That'd be really funny.
Hey, you have our pen!
We here at First International Federal.
We're keeping our pens.
Oh, sure. We're giving you good interest, but we're keeping our pens, you little pricks.
You bastards.
We can give you better interest because we don't have to replace pens.
All the pens.
Yeah.
Was it Gary Shandling who's famous? I think it was Gary Shandling, his first Tonight Show appearance. He walked out and he says something like, yeah, I just went to this new bank. It's great they've got these free pens.
And he pulls out has the chain.
I love him. Uh-huh. Okay, let's see. Where was I? Christy Lee is over there at the Bob and Tom news desk. You have any serious news before we get to the action here? I've got a couple oddities in the news.
Not really serious, but CENTCOM is military speak for U.S. Central Command. It's headquartered at MacDill Air Force Base in Florida.
Yeah.
Central Command oversees military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. A Navy captain there issued orders concerning a small bathroom at the Joint Intelligence Center that doesn't have adequate ventilation.
Ooh.
Workers were told to take their more serious business to the big bathrooms in order to avoid what's termed...
Whoa. Yeah.
They're more serious business.
So in other words, this guy's saying you can't do number two in the...
Yes, and, because of the odor issue.
I don't know why it's number two.
It feels so good. It really should be number one.
It's always been number
Thank
one
you.
To me.
A CENTCOM spokesman.
A tip of the hat.
Louis C.K.
To Louis C.K. Yeah. I'm sorry.
A CENTCOM spokesman says the memo was a humorous attempt to deal with the problem.
Oh, so this was an official email?
It was an official email that went out to everybody on the MacDill Air Force Base, yes, because there were some odor issues, and he was tired of dealing with it, apparently. So,
it was next
you
to
gotta
his
watch
office,
where you
or?
Go. You
Sounds
know?
Like they're at MacDill. They're in a pickle. Whoa! I am on fire!
No, but we'd like. But would you mind if we set you on fire? Do you have any?
And the Department of Homeland.
Wait, hang on. I don't understand. So, are people actually obeying this?
Apparently,
it's orders, Tom.
It's orders. It's a Navy captain. Orders. He issued an order.
You got your orders. You got to accept an order. That's a court.
Is this part of
defense.
The don't ask, don't smell?
Yeah.
It is.
Military.
Right.
Don't ask, don't smell.
Yes.
Exactly. It truly is.
The Department of Homeland Security has granted a contract to California-based Intelligent Optical Systems to develop its flashlight-like LED incapacitator, a non-lethal weapon that makes targets...
incapacitated.
Oh, this is the puke light.
Throw up. That's right.
I
the
saw
device
this.
Emits
what?
Super bright pulses of light at rapidly changing wavelengths, causing disorientation, nausea, and even vomiting in the person it's pointed at.
Yeah, it's actually, you can see it on a website called...
DHS hopes to equip police.
It's posted on a website called Engadget.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Engadget.
I love Engadget.
Sure, me too.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Engadget before.
Hang on, I think I've got it.
This is real? You can actually point a light at someone and they can throw up?
Yeah.
Well, they need that at comedy clubs.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to end up putting these things out on keychains like they do the little lasers.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, little Johnny
little...
in school.
They have the little color, the tasers now come, the personal tasers come with in fashionable colors
personal
for women.
Personal tasers. Did you ever hear
have
that
Have you seen
before?
That? That's great.
It says with regard to the so-called puke light. This is from Engadget. It says, while the concept isn't that far-fetched, then it points out that similar symptoms have been seen in helicopter pilots affected by sunlight strobing through spinning blades. You've got to wonder how many thousands of dollars have been spent developing a weapon that can be defeated by merely looking the other way.
That's true.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Department of Homeland Security hopes to
equip. Weren't they trying to...
Create
a bomb that they would drop that would turn
people gay.
Yes,
yeah. That would make the soldiers want to have sex with each other.
Yep,
isn't that true?
They did
That's
look
what I
into
thought.
That.
Mm-hmm.
But this is this is listed as the puke light here in the Engadget catalog.
That if you close your eyes, it won't affect.
Well, no.
You have to be looking. This account says, the light shines a high intensity beam. To stun the target and then begins flashing a series of pulses that change color and duration, inducing psychophysical effects that include nausea, vertigo, and vomiting. What's our threat level, General? Well, it's kind of a pukey yellow, chunky, kind of a...
Uh-huh. Okay.
But these aren't actually for sale, are they?
Not yet. 2010, they're hoping that they can have...
You know, though...
Hopefully the... War
Police
will be over by then.
Border guards. No, they're talking about here, Department of Homeland Security, not for over in Iraq.
Oh, really?
Jimmy took the puke light to camp.
I was going to say, these will be easily abused.
I would think.
My goodness.
Yeah. I guess if police officers had them, you know how these guys are. They get together with their buddies.
Yeah.
Look at this. There was a guy in
portion of my schooling that could throw up
on command.
At will, whenever
on command.
He was a legend. He was one of the most popular kids in school.
And I'll go out of my way not to throw up.
How could that be popular?
Everybody.
Oh, I thought every school had one.
Everybody thought it was hilarious.
We had the kid who could burp and fart on command. We had the one kid who could fart on command.
No, we didn't have the puker. That's
a puker? That's going a little too far.
And the one guy who kissed me. I mean, it's the same thing.
Is he a legend also?
Oh, my God. He was
or is he
legend.
Just dreamy?
I got lost in his eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Chick. Here's something interesting. You've seen these ads for these specialized cruises. Lots of bands do them, for example.
Oh, yeah. You can go, rock and roll cruise, sure.
You can go on a cruise with a specific rock band, and they play a concert when you get off at the island or whatever. And mm-hmm. But now it seems every group has their own cruise, Star Trek cruise, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Singer K.D. Lang is the latest star planning to set sail on the high seas after announcing she'll perform on board the leading lesbian cruise line in 2008. The Constant Craving singer will perform at the launch of Olivia's first Caribbean cruise of 2008 in January. This luxury cruise line is celebrating its 35th anniversary next year. And all guests on board throughout 2008 will be given complimentary K.D. Lang CDs.
How nice.
So,
well, Rosie O'Donnell made a movie of her.
Yeah, I mean, hey, whatever group you're in, it's fine with me. I'm just... Going down on the ship is
a lot different than it used to be.
probably
not the captain anymore.
The preferred way
he goes
to go.
Down with the ship, on the ship.
You got preposition trouble there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With, not on.
Oh, you're supposed to go down with the ship?
Go down with the ship.
Not going down on the ship.
Right. And that's only the captain is required to do that.
Oh, well, he's the only one. Not the performer.
She.
Whomever.
Sappho.
Captain Sappho.
Hey, whatever you're into is okay with me.
I like her. She's got a great CD out. Songs from
great
the
singer.
49th yes. Parallel.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't argue with that.
I great have an singer. Update on our Ashes story from yesterday. You'll recall Anita Lewis had a big ceramic turtle that she sold in a yard sale over the weekend.
A big ceramic turtle.
No, wow, she had a
picture.
It was the husband's ex-wife, his ashes.
Right. She did not realize the turtle was an urn containing the ashes of her husband's previous wife.
Yep.
Doubt it.
A woman bought it for 50 cents, saying she wanted to use the turtle as a cookie jar.
Oh, yeah.
So she's had this turtle lying around her house and doesn't know what's in it.
Apparently.
It's full of something.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Her husband didn't
I
say,
disagree.
Oh, by the way,
yeah.
Thelma's ashes are in there.
Hello.
The rummage sale mistake prompted a frantic search, but a caller's tip to the Star Gazette newspaper of Elmira, New York, led Mrs. Lewis to a Salvation Army thrift store where she found her missing turtle.
Did she really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady's buying stuff at garage sales and reselling it to the Salvation Army.
It was either find the turtle or she was going to be in a new turtle.
Yeah.
You're listening to A Little Extra. Bob and Tom Extra.
It's the Bob and Tom Show. You're a beautiful girl, and your pants are on so tight that when you stand just right, I can see it all. When you're on the beach and your bikini's soaking wet, I see a fuzzy silhouette as I look down below. I see your camel toe. Your biscuit, your beavage, I see your cooter cleavage. Your monkey, your muffin, you ain't hiding nothing. Your coochie, your flapper, you're showing off your snapper. Don't you know? I never thought I'd see so much.
Bob and Tom Show.
Bob and Tom. Bob and Tom.
Featuring Bob as Bob and Tom as Tom. Many portions of the upcoming program have been pre-recorded, meaning they've already happened. And they're about to happen again. So where was it? Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're glad to have you here. It's the Bob and Tom Show.
Hello, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Good morning.
Hey, hi. Thanks very much for joining us. We have in the studio with us a very fine comedian. He is Greg Warren. And Greg has been out on the Bob and Tom Canadian Miss Comedy All-Star Tour. Off and on all winter long. He's a great stand-up comedian. He was also featured in the Bob and Tom Comedy Central special and did a terrific job. We're looking forward to talking with him this morning. Not because Greg is here, by the way, are we discussing this topic. This was a news story from Fox News regarding a new study published in the International Journal of Sexual Medicine saying the best sex should last between 7 and 13 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says...
In a row?
Well,
I'm asking for chick.
Thank you, Bob.
Take a breather in there.
Yeah.
I guess the gist of this is that American men apparently feel that it should last a lot longer, and they're feeling inadequate about it. There's pressure that it should last a long time. So the survey of sex therapists is designed to have a calming effect on couples who think healthy sex has to last a long time.
I see.
The study is trying to calm couples' unrealistic beliefs that healthy sex should last a long time, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're not bringing it up because you're here, Greg. I don't want you to feel like we're singling you out for some kind of...
No.
Oh,
cool. Hello, Bob and Tom Show.
Hello, Bob and Tom.
Yes, hello.
It's Sting.
Sting.
Hey, we were just talking about you, Sting. I know you're famous for, what is it called?
Tantric sex.
Nine-hour orgasms, stuff like that.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
You know... I thought you were talking about my marvelous concert last year, but while I got you on the phone, just let me clear that up, will I?
About what?
The 8-hour, hour orgasm?
No, it was the press release and the rumors started out that I had 8 hours of penetration, right?
That's what I hear. Uh-huh.
That's a typo.
It is?
It was 8 hours of pretension.
Yeah, well, that'll
happen. Yeah, I've always wondered, is it pretentiousness or pretension?
Pretension.
Never...
I had an 8-hour... I was in the south of France in a cafe.
Yes.
And I had a small group with me. And we started out talking about, the aesthetics of the bass.
Uh-huh.
Playing the bass. I talked about Charles Mingus, Jaco Pastorius.
Uh-huh.
And then I segued into starving kids in Uganda.
Uh-huh.
God, it sounds insufferable. I hope they had booze there.
It was pretentious. It was 8 hours long. Uh-huh. And then I talked about how bad meat is for you.
Bad.
Yeah. Oh, wow. No booze and no burgers. Wow, what a crappy afternoon.
Would you like me to go on?
No.
Okay, bye.
I think 3 minutes is perfectly
that's
adequate.
That's fine, yeah.
Bye.
Thanks, adios, Sting.
Sting. That's interesting. Now, with us in the studio.
I think I remember him recanting some of that. About the 8 or 9 hour orgasm. I think he was talking about it was a whole ordeal. It wasn't.
Yeah,
just
it's
that.
This whole thing.
I would imagine the press, okay. release was probably the ordeal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he referred to it as the chore.
We have a comedian, Greg Warren, here with us. Greg, what else is happening in your life? Anything good? You're doing great on the comedy tour.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's good when somebody's not taking a
talking about your personal life?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Yeah.
Anything good there?
No, I mean...
No girlfriends?
No,
do you have a house, apartment? You're living on the road?
I got a condo. Yeah,
condo, that sounds good. Yeah. Do you have a roommate?
No.
That's
no.
Nice.
Good call.
Yeah.
Finally?
That's about... That's a point in your life when you don't need roommates.
Right.
Yeah. I had roommates out in L.A., when I lived out there, and they were all comedians, and none of them paid rent.
I'll bet they weren't very clean.
No, I'd leave town, and the joke became out. You know, people used to hang out at this club, the Improv, in Hollywood. It was kind of the hangout, and that I was going to show up there one day and meet the new guy in town. Be like, oh yeah, cool.
Uh-huh.
Where are you living? I'm over at Warren's place. Well, I am Warren. I'm Warren.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
I bought the store yesterday. And I bought a diet soda.
Mm-hmm.
And when I paid for it, the lady said, have fun. I don't know what she thought I was going to do with that diet soda.
Yeah.
I didn't want to disappoint her, so I said, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
didn't she say, aren't you the guy from the light beer commercial?
I'm going to work hard.
Work hard and play hard.
I'm a work guy. I like to work hard and play hard.
Yeah.
People, when people
are you a neat guy, Greg?
Not especially.
Okay.
No.
Really, I kind of thought you would be.
Really? Well, yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Well, you don't have a lot of time for, you know, your lady. You might as well pick up the house.
Yeah. What are the walls? What are the walls like in the
nothing
in the boudoir
nothing,
of the of
no
the,
pictures,
the Greg
you
Warren?
Nothing on your walls.
Nothing on my walls.
The Greg Warren condo. If we were to go to the condo right
well,
now,
what
it's
see?
Pretty
pretty like pretty
harsh?
Spare.
Does it look
yeah.
like you just moved in?
No, kind of.
Oh, really?
I mean, I got stuff. I just don't have anything on the walls. Yeah.
Do you have a? Does your mattress have one of those skirts around the bottom? What's that called?
Bed skirt.
No,
it's a mattress.
It's called a bed skirt.
You supposed to have that?
Yeah. No.
Well, it depends.
That's a little gay.
Not if you're a man.
Yeah.
You can always tell if you can always tell. I mean,
do you have a comforter or bedspread?
I got a comforter.
I have a bed skirt.
Well,
you do.
you're domestic.
Married.
Domesticated.
Yeah, but you're.
I am domesticated. Yeah. I'm tamed. Yeah. I'm domesticated. Yeah.
If you were living by yourself, would you have a bed skirt, Chick?
Yeah, I bet they had to use the old whip on you a few times, didn't they?
I did meet a.
Well, Chick just has a. In his bedroom, he has this huge painting of a cat, a little pussy cat with gigantic eyes.
Holding
a whip. Is your bed skirt clean?
Yes. I love my photo. I love it.
Yeah, that's a picture.
I met a girl.
Oh, that's good.
You did?
Well, at a show a few weeks ago. Uh-huh. And things kind of worked out. They started to work out. She seemed to be pretty much into me. And we went to a hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I was singing well. Things are going real well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess she was a little drunk. And, yeah. And she asked me at one point, she said, how old are you anyway? You know, and I told her.
No.
And she couldn't believe it. Like, I maybe look a little younger than I am, but I don't think much younger.
Mm-hmm. You look younger.
How old are you?
I'm 39. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, well, see, you
don't look 30. At
no,
least.
I would have guessed 30, 31. Yeah.
Okay, so she was really freaked out by it.
Was she young?
Well, that's the thing. She was like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 39. She's like, no. I'm like, no, I'm 39. And she kept like, she'd be quiet about it for like 10 minutes and be like, are you really 39? Then I started to get freaked out. I'm like, oh my God, if she's this freaked out about age, she's 16. You know? she was like 24 and
And what ruined it, huh? Your age ruined it for you?
That's exact. Yeah, it ruined it. It did. I should have lied. Yeah. I should have totally lied. Uh-huh. I should have said I was 28.
You should have said, how old do you think I am? And then just added a year.
Is that what you do?
You should have said
it.
She subtracts a year.
Did anyone else pick up on the conniving nature that came right out of Christy?
Yeah.
Absolutely no
problem.
That's
why I can't. That's why it doesn't work, because I'm matched up against people that aren't honest. Uh-huh. Women, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm honest. I'll tell you how old I am.
Oh,
I don't
care.
But it was very, very, you know.
Yeah, you're like 59.
Well, you're not going to marry this girl, are you?
Aren't you like 57?
No.
What are you,
57? You should have said, I think I'm with Christy. You should have said, by the way, guess my age and my weight, and you get the prize.
Yeah, if you really want to astound people, you should tell people you're 78.
Yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh. Look, Mandy, you look good for 78.
Well, 39 freaked her out. So.
Wow, that's amazing.
Totally.
Did you close the deal?
I did not close the deal. No.
Well, obviously not.
I'm telling you, I'm on a
in a hotel
streak. Yeah, in a hotel. Yeah.
In a hotel, the clerk probably high-fived you on the way in.
Yeah.
They had to be disappointed.
Yeah, it was... I thought we were in.
The clerk was actually thrilled because he was 28.
Yeah. He's probably up there with her right now.
Yeah.
He's probably up there with my girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, here's an odd story. We have time to squeeze this one in. Police are searching for a person who left 4 hand grenades at the Westmoreland County Goodwill store.
Wow.
The grenades were found yesterday afternoon in a plastic box. The Allegheny County Bomb Squad rushed to the scene. Police say the grenades were of a military surplus variety. They were removed from the store.
Hmm. Wow.
So
just in a box?
These are real grenades.
I'm just saying, but they're real grenades with clothes stuck on top of them, and they probably didn't even know they were in there.
I didn't know that. This sounds
maybe
like...
the guy didn't know that you couldn't take grenades to Goodwill.
No,
maybe.
there's no signs that say you can't.
No. You're supposed to take grenades to the Salvation Army. Obviously, anybody
that
knows
goes without
that.
Saying.
What if Old Navy attacks? The Salvation Army's got to be.
Did I ever tell you guys that I did a grenade drill one time?
You did.
I went to West Point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We used to have to do a hand grenade drill in the summer, and They basically my it was a two-man drill. I had to take the hand grenade and throw it in the bunker.
Yeah.
And before I did, I had to signal my buddy Garland, who was on watch out. So I took the hand grenade and I threw it in the bunker, and I forgot to signal Garland.
Oh.
Yeah, they got really, really, Warren, you forgot to signal your buddy. You killed your buddy, Warren. Your buddy would be dead right now. They made Garland lie down, like, in the dirt, and I had to stand over him and apologize for killing him. I was like, Garland, I'm sorry that I killed you. It's okay, Warren. Shut up, Garland. You're dead. You know, like, and nobody mentioned, I got yelled at, nobody mentioned that I did, you know, throw the grenade in the bunker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. Sure, we lost Garland, but
it's all right.
There's going to be casualties in any conflict,
absolutely.
Right?
Right.
That's part of war. I mean, we lost Garland. And why did I have to signal Garland? What did he think I was doing at the bunker, selling insurance? Like, you know?
Close the deal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, were these live grenades?
No, they were not live grenades, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No,
training comes down the road a little bit. Mm.
Yeah, they didn't trust. I was like freshman year. They didn't trust us with live.
Well, good.
I imagine. Yeah.
I did get to shoot M16s though, live M16. Right?
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I think
because when you're a freshman, there are other things that go off in your hand.
Sure. Right. I had one. In fact,
before seven.
Yeah.
Before the 7 to 13 minute.
Didn't you have one that was defective in a hotel room last week?
Yeah, I did. I had one that did not go off.
Pulled the pin, nothing happened.
it wouldn't explode.
Get out of here. I'm doing a grenade drill.
Because the grenade was too old, Bob.
39 years old.
Oh, man.
39-year-old grenade.
I got to recycle this grenade.
I'll tell you what. When that thing finally does go off, look out.
Wow, bang!
There's going to be a mushroom cloud.
Head clean off.
That's going to be like an atomic grenade.
Well, it'll happen in 1 to 2 minutes.
Maybe sooner.
If that.
I'm sorry, what was that, Miss Conniving? What?
We have to take a break. We're coming back with comedian Greg Warren and comedian Jimmy Schubert's going to join us. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
And we're just getting started on this Wednesday Best of the Bob and Tom Show. Coming up this hour, Donnie Baker and Pat McAfee. But coming up next, Daniel Tosh had to burp. That's next on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
Stay tuned. There's more. It's the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show from the Napa Auto Parts Studio. Good morning. This is Christopher speaking. The cast is on vacation. They'll be back on Monday. Right now, a segment with comedian Daniel Tosh.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. Thanks very much for joining us. With us in the studio, comedian Daniel Tosh, one of America's finest comedians.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. I just burped. And now I'm angry because last night I had a blackened chicken wrap and they forgot the ranch dressing. And when I burped, I was like, wow, that burp could have been better had there been ranch on it. That's twice. I'm pretty sure that's going to butterfly effect into a war.
It could.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You are upset. I understand we have someone on hold for Daniel.
Hold on. Morning, Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, brother, I am with you on that. Hey, it's old Nick Nolte.
Hey, Nick. How are you, Nick? Joining us in the studio, comedian Daniel Tosh. Nick
hey,
Nolte,
Tosh.
Actor.
How you doing, my man?
Well, sir.
That's good. Listen, you got a half pipe at your place?
I do.
I do, too, and I like it that way because it gets straight to the lungs a lot faster that way.
No. Not a smoking pipe, Nick. You know, of course.
You ever burped up Thousand Island dressing?
No.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You talk about a meal and a half right there. You know what? I like you. God. You sound like you're about a half can of Stroh's away from rehab.
Oh, yeah.
Did I hear you talking about sitting on a toilet? Is that...
Well, there's a new kind of toilet that actually the tank fills with water from your sink. It's supposed to save.
And then I share that I
recycle the water.
Yeah, what do you do, Dan?
I reverse it. I reverse it because, A, it's cool.
That's crazier than hell.
he sits down facing the tank.
A toilet?
What
the hell? You ever heard of a jigsaw, son? It'll cut a perfect hole in your deck out back. You don't need a toilet.
Really?
Are you out of your mind? You want to check in for a while?
No, Nick. He has indoor plumbing.
Well, that's just Fancy Dan. He's just a little Fancy Dan faggy boy, isn't he?
Thanks.
That's Listen, actually Eric a hate
Coleman
crime.
Just checked out if you want to come over for a couple days.
No, really?
Yeah, you can. You talking about skinny models?
Yeah, I
did have a joke about it.
Paris, baby, if you're listening, come on over to Nick's. Because Tosh is going to be here. Coleman will be back. Hasselhoff's out getting a hamburger, we will have the party of our damn lives. I'm telling you that right now.
I've seen Hasselhoff eat a
Paris
burger.
Paris is, she's no model. She's just rich, and she wears size 12 shoes. She's a freak.
That's right. She's just a little, never mind.
All right, thanks, Nick. Bye, Nick.
Okay, let's get back to the action here.
Yep.
With us in the studio, comedian Daniel Tosh is here with us. And Daniel, how long is your actual stage act?
When I perform live...
Yeah, how long is your act, your little act?
Your
how
little,
long is
your
that?
Your little routine.
Okay, why don't you stop being like a jerk so I can do my joke? I do. That's what I...
I'm sorry, Daniel, they're interrupting.
My sketch. I call it my act.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to imply that.
You didn't imply anything. No, but like, how long do I perform? Usually an hour to an hour and a half, but I tell you whatever I'm feeling. I tell the crowd within the first 3 minutes of being on stage how long I'm going to do to the minute. Huh. Because I think it's nice. No performer does this. I do it.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been at church? You're like, hey, when's this guy going to wrap it up? Oh, let's go. We got kickoff. We get it. We're sinners. Need a new parking lot. Okay. I wish God would have rested on a Wednesday.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for ruining our weekend. No. I really wanted to wake up early one more day. I mean, the whole concept behind the Sabbath is that God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh.
Right.
Well, according to my calendar, he hasn't worked a day since. You know, no wonder there's war. He spent a week on us and was like, all right, you guys go figure stuff out. I'm going to chill. And then everybody prays on the Sabbath. That's God's day off. He's probably like, oh, you guys are greedy. Do not disturb. I'm trying to watch Tiger. In HD.
Yeah.
HD Tiger.
Oh. I love that. I love that concept, though. Why didn't God rest on a Wednesday?
Amen.
Oh, that would have been nice, huh?
It'd be nice to have a break in the middle of the
week. Yeah.
Work Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Maybe his next solar system that he does, he'll try that.
Yeah. Maybe.
Do you think he should have a comment box up in heaven?
Yeah.
I've got a lot of things that could make this world a lot better.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Don't get me started.
So we all do.
Is that a catchphrase? Don't get me started.
I'm actually doing that in my act now. Yeah. Yes. I do it 46 times.
Okay, I thought
and
so.
By the end, the audience is screaming, don't get me started. And I'm like, you guys can't handle this.
I wonder if there's a sort of a graveyard for catchphrases that didn't work out. Because you know that
this that because is a of great
because
thought.
Of the whole get her done thing.
Yeah,
that everybody. Actually started out as gatter done.
No kidding.
But you're
the
right.
Whole get. I mean,
now everybody wants.
I love
one.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Now are you?
But I'm just and he it sort of just happened naturally. There was an organic thing with his act, and it happened get her done. But now every other. Comedian
are you
is
counting,
trying to do that.
Are you counting past phrases that were successful or just ones that never got off the ground?
Both.
Okay.
Phrases. Actually, I'm going to add this to my act.
Okay.
Goal! Goal! Goal!
So at random times during all your right. performance, oh you will just God. Shout out goal.
Let's say I do a joke about scarves. I love scarves. They're great, especially when you're in a bad conversation with somebody because you can just whip it around your head real fast. Like, I got to go. And they're like, wow, apparently you have an old fighter plane to get to. Goal!
I'm not sure I get that.
Like goal!
Glad I'm there.
Well, I scored. It was such a great joke.
Oh, yeah. Do that 40 or 50 times a night. Yeah.
It's good.
Because you have goal t-shirts. Goal!
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, and I don't like to brag, but I'm selling out like 400-seat venues in third world countries.
Uh-huh. So, really?
With that catchphrase alone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's all they come to see.
They go crazy, though. When
Oh, yeah.
You know, let me ask you this. In all seriousness, have you ever been asked by your management to, hey, listen, Daniel, we really need to come up with a hook for you. Could you come up with some kind of a phrase for us so that we can make you the guy who's famous for saying...
No, my management.
There you go. There's
I'm
one
just
for
waiting
you.
For a bus. How about that one?
I'm respected.
Maybe something hip,
like in a surf's up, some kind of a thing would be cool for you.
Used.
No, I can't think of anything. You know, if ever a catchphrase applied to me, it would just be me going like, I'm sorry, and just move on to the next joke and hope people come back to the club sometime.
See,
they're
not going to be able to get lighters and T-shirts and
that say I'm sorry on
air fresheners that say I'm sorry, Daniel Tosh.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know that's the thing. I'm not huge into the self promotion minus the actual stand up itself. Whatever. Maybe I should.
How about charity things? Are you? I know you're a charitable guy. You've been part of some of our charity projects before,
which I love. I love being on your CDs. That's always really kind of neat. I always look for, is my name on there? And then I look to see if Greg Hahn's on there. And then I go, ugh.
Yeah, we did the same thing on your DVD to see if our name was on there, and it's not. No. So.
Yeah, actually.
I was looking for Greg Hahn's name.
First of all, it is on. At the end of the credits, I thank everybody in the world except for people from Omaha. It actually says that.
And so that would include us.
I guess
so.
That's
we're in
us.
There. Okay.
I feel good now.
Seriously, though, you do
yes,
have a...
Yes, I do have a chair. I actually have a few charities, but... the big one that I'm working on right now is called Febreze the Homeless. And
now, does this helps get the homeless people smelling a little bit better?
Yeah, or? I basically that's what it is. I mean, you kind of take a little sting out of it, but I didn't know if it was obvious. But yes, I Febreze the homeless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you physically take the spray and
just go Febreze them? Yeah, I just think it helps. I don't know if there's a graph that could prove it, but if you were to give a dollar to somebody that, you know, say smelled like sewer versus ocean breeze,
you might give them a dollar.
I think ocean breeze wins almost 9 out of 10 times.
Go!
Oh, it's catching on.
Oh.
Somebody call the producer of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. We got a new headliner.
Daniel Tosh is our guest in the studio. Christy Lee is right there at the news desk. Any other quick news stories before we get back to
that? A Chinese court jailed two officials after they let a blind contractor build a bridge which collapsed during construction, injuring 12. The men were sentenced to 18 months and 1 year in jail, respectively, for not stopping the project. According to a report, after the blind contractor changed the blueprint, he carried out the work only using a roughly drawn draft of the plan, which caused the bridge to collapse.
Yeah.
It was not clear how the contractor was able to run the project, considering he couldn't see.
Well, a contractor, really, all he has to do is make the phone
bark
calls.
Out orders.
Make the phone calls.
Yeah.
Make sure there's other guys to do the work.
But I think it would help if you could.
He only hired blind people. Because, like, whenever, you always want to hire your friends.
Go!
Seriously. Yeah. I'm gonna call you guys with hate mail or email you bad stuff if you keep doing that. Because you know that everyone at the shows that I go to
is
going to start. Yeah, but I was being sarcastic.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll stop.
The power of your show is not going to help my ass.
Daniel Tosh is our guest. This is an interesting story. Dateline Tokyo, Japan is reportedly preparing to mobilize troops to deal with wild animals, including wild boar, bears, and monkeys. Having debated since March on how to stop the animals from attacking crops and entering residential areas, a group of ruling party politicians has agreed to call on the military for help. This should be no problem for the Japanese military, obviously.
Why do you guys only have Asian stories?
Well, no, Daniel, think about this. The Japanese military, they've taken on a 70-foot moth.
Yes, they have.
Giant prehistoric,
very good.
A prehistoric dinosaur. I don't think a monkey's going to really shake these guys up.
What about Rodan?
How about this one? This is a disgusting. This is from Australia.
Yay.
Down under. A man lost part of his finger in a bar brawl, walked out of the pub and down the street before he noticed it was gone. He didn't know it was missing till he left the pub, according to Police Inspector Mark Kellert. He was out on the street and realized there was blood on his hand. Then he looked and his finger was missing.
Son of a...
Security guards found the severed finger and a large amount of blood in the pub's bathroom, according to New South Wales State Police. The 42-year-old man's identity has not been released, was treated for his injuries. It does not say whether the finger was reattached.
He lost it how? In a brawl?
Apparently. you know, they
I've never been in a fight in my life.
No.
Now I assume that I'm pretty good.
How would you know?
Don't step to me. That's all I'm suggesting. All well, no, right. Because I really think that's kind of a man's mentality. Men think they're good at things that they've never done. Mm-hmm. I was watching the Winter X Games with my friend, and he's like, I could do that. I'm like, what? I've known you your whole life. You think you can take a snowmobile and do a backflip off a 20-foot jump? He's like, yeah, you just got to gas it, lean your head back really hard. It's really about courage. So we rented a snowmobile.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and we went up to Big Bear, and he over-rotated, and he died. That's not the sad part. The sad part is I left my credit card on the rental, got stuck with the whole snowmobile. They're like, we're going to charge you $8,500. I know my credit card. I'm like, good luck. It went through.
Oh,
it did.
Yeah, Kyle got the last laugh, didn't he? Now I don't feel guilty for sleeping with his sister. And part of that joke's true.
Which part?
Well, Kyle's never been on a snowmobile, but I have been on a sister.
Don't do the goal thing anymore.
No more goals.
Seriously.
I resisted. That was very nice. So this poor guy goes to a bar, gets in a fight, doesn't even remember it, leaves, and doesn't even have his finger when he gets out.
How do you even say, you should have saw the other guy?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a leg now.
It's. Do you know where they found his finger, Christy?
Where?
In the tip jar.
Goal.
Two.
Goal.
Goal.
Assist.
Oh, wait a minute. Grab that.
Oh. Morning, Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, Bob and Tom Show.
Yes.
Hey, I've been listening. I was wondering if you could have Daniel Tosh do his goal bit. Thank you.
Sure, thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that,
Daniel.
Comedian.
Goal! Comedian Daniel Tosh. He'll like this story. This is a nice story. This is from Czechoslovakia. An armed robber who targeted McDonald's restaurants was grabbed by the ear and marched to the police station by his mother, whose name is Katka Zaradnikova, 44, from Prague. She recognized her 20-year-old son, Mikhail, on CCTV footage screened on the local version of the Crime Watch show.
It only takes 12 pounds of pressure straight down to rip an ear off.
Wow. Is that all?
I know that.
Uh-huh. This guy was admitted he was responsible for robbing a number of fast food stores and put up no resistance as she marched him down to the police station by his ear, and she made him give the police a full statement.
Man.
So there you go. Mom.
Yeah.
Then she went into the holding cell and spanked all the other inmates.
Yeah.
Who would you be more afraid of, the police or your mother?
The police?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be afraid of my mother because...
You can take your ma. Is that what you're
dead.
Telling me, Daniel?
She's dead. If she comes and grabs me by the ear, I've got trouble.
I would ruin my mother if she tried that.
Yeah. Coming up next on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show, former NFL kicker Pat McAfee and Donnie Baker. Swear to God he'll be here. It's on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Become a Bob and Tom VIP and see everything you hear. Watch the Bob and Tom live video stream. Get all the info now at bobandtom.com.
This is the Bob and Tom Show, the best of the Bob and Tom Show for a Wednesday. This is Christopher speaking from the Napa Auto Parts Studio. Let's get a segment here with former NFL kicker Pat McAfee and Donnie Baker.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show.
Hello.
The room is much different than it was just a few minutes ago.
Yes, it is.
First off, there's Bob. I'm Tom. Chick McGee's at the sports desk. Christy Lee is at the news desk. Currently doing a selfie. It is Chick McGee along with Donnie Baker in the studio. Donnie, hello. Along with Pat McAfee.
Oh,
boy. I am so excited right now.
From the NFL. Here's what's troubling me more than anything. Wouldn't the presence of Donnie Baker make you want to turn your hat around the normal way?
No. I'm trying to be Donnie Baker every way I possibly can.
You know what? You've almost succeeded.
I bought a Wolf t-shirt yesterday.
It's a long, complicated process, brother.
Uh-huh. There's no way he plays in the NFL. It's weird seeing a football player outside of their uniform. It's like seeing a stripper at Waffle and Steak. When you see them in a natural habitat, they don't look as big.
They don't look as big, do they?
I swear to God, they don't.
Oh,
now, do you know any strippers? I know because your mom, I'm sorry, your stepmom, Mom Phyllis, is still a professional dancer.
She's part-time now. She don't do it full-time.
Wasn't she at Xanadu?
She was at Xanadu's. Now she's got a pager like I do. She's basically in the bullpen. She waits if they need help. Uh-huh. If somebody's laid off, she don't go in with a hot, horny nurse costume. She goes in now with, like, jean shorts and Crocs, just business casual. Uh-huh. She don't have to dress up like she used to.
Now, what about the scar? Is that some guys dig that?
Some guys are into it, but she can cover it up. Tattoos are a way to cover it up now, but she don't have... It used to be a whole act, but now it's hard to compete when you have your competition who can play two harmonicas with no hands. Queen Laquitha is good, and it's hard to compete with Queen Laquitha. She's made more money in the last three fecal years. My mom Phyllis did the first seven years.
Fiscal year.
She's on a roll.
Is your stepmom on Craigslist and or Backpage?
She's been on Backpage before. There ain't as much traffic there. We still basically... I have co-opted out a lot of her work with what I do with my boat signs, Pat, so I've given her a good square foot space on most of my poster boards.
Still haven't sold your boat. You'd think in the summertime, it's boating season, a great time to get a new boat, you'd think, or in your case, a used boat, you'd think.
We've only had two flood watches, so my market has been hurt with the flood watches.
Now, is the...
I swear to God that's true.
Well, I believe you.
That hurt me at work yesterday. We had a flood watch. I didn't have time to get the signs up.
Yeah.
And then at work, because our stupid boss don't know how to hire a certified plumber, now there's hot water running to the commodes at work.
Oh, geez.
Water's
running. And even the seat was warm. I said, in about 5 minutes, you're going to get a lawsuit and fresh popcorn if this ain't fixed. I said it right. You do the math.
Uh-huh. Donnie Baker is our special guest live in the studio. Donnie, it's always a pleasure. We have Chick McGee at the sports desk. Did we finish sports?
I think we did.
I have a story for Donnie.
Oh, you do?
Unruly air passengers would be wise not.
He has four wristbands on right now.
Of course he does.
What is the purpose of four wristbands?
He's in you sweat
band.
A lot, right?
Now I'm the lead singer. It's state law. You have to wear sweatbands as lead singer.
That's right. Yeah.
Steven Tyler's has like 14 or 15.
I guess you're right, ma'am.
Steven Tyler's wearing the robes now. Have you seen him lately?
Yeah, and he looks like Joan Rivers' daughter, too. It's weird.
Well, you know what? I think somebody got to him and talked to him because he really did look like that Diane Parkinson or whatever that old...
Model. Janice Dickinson.
Janice Dickinson. I get him. But he grew facial hair. Yeah. And that really does help.
And he's dressing like Maharishi or something.
It guys him up a little bit.
That's not going to help.
And anyway,
Bruce Jenner, grow a beard.
Unruly air passengers would be wise not to mix it up.
He already is a beard.
Bob, I think, we were thinking the same thing.
Sorry. Chris.
What's it called? The St. Louis Oreo? What was the new sexual position we invented?
St. Louis Reverse Oreo.
Yeah.
The St. Louis
Reverse
Oreo.
Cuba Gooding Jr. showing up at the NHL Awards last night for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Unruly air passengers should not mix it up with flight attendants on Chinese planes anytime soon. They are among the clients of a new kung fu master teaching them the ancient martial art. Although intended to ward off potential terrorists in the cabin, the skills they learned could easily be deployed against drunken and unruly travelers. Tu Tiang Yao, 32, is one of the trainers teaching a new intake of 20,000 students how to kick, punch, and wrestle opponents with ease.
20,000 students?
Yep.
Fortunately, in the studio right now, are you black belt, Donnie?
I've got two of them, Chick. I started at Discount Karate in circus 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Studied at the School of the Dragon there at Discount Karate. Then they sold out because the tax mess and became a Dairy Queen. Now it's a Taekwondo DQ. It's under new management.
Taekwondo DQ.
I swear to God. I make Budweiser Blizzards. I got the key to the kitchen. It's badass. A lot of them. But I can basically still scissor kick a hornet's nest and destroy the whole colony without even hurting the queen. So
really?
My mayhem is a controlled mayhem.
I see.
We have a tribute.
We do?
Oh, yeah, at least a short one. Remember this one?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Carl Douglas, greatest rock and roll song of all time.
What a great song.
I will never forget that.
Great song.
Rush Hour made this song relevant to my generation.
Really?
Yeah, the movie Rush Hour.
The movie
sure.
Rush Hour. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember listening to a rock and roll countdown, very serious, and Bridge Over Troubled Water, I think, came in second, but Kung Fu Fighting was voted the number one song of all time.
All time.
What's your favorite song of all time, Donnie?
It's probably Still in the Night, David Coverdale's.
Never heard of it.
Rock and Roll should have been buried then and stopped. He mastered it. They mastered it with that tape.
Yeah.
Really? I'm surprised because I know that you famously had a reunion with your father who you hadn't seen in years. You ran into him, actually.
I did, and that was weird. You talk about Craigslist. I get tickets off Craigslist, and I ain't seen him in years, you know, except for pictures back home. And there we were, four rows apart at a Molly Hatchet concert, and I see him, and he sees me, but we don't speak out of respect to the music.
Yeah, of course.
So it was basically... There you go. Starting to sweat.
His leg's going right now.
Oh, yeah.
Still in the night.
Still in the night. I hear the wolf owl honey sniffing around your door.
Oh, see? He gets higher than Steve Perry's right there. And they do the breakout before the chorus kicks in. They do the breakout in the first stanza. Nobody else had ever thought of that.
What?
Stanza.
I probably know more about measures and bars than anybody I know.
The bars part, probably.
Don't interrupt him.
What the hell is that song called?
You've never heard
Still
that?
Of the Night.
Still of the Night.
Still of the Night.
Boom, 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 boom.
Still
White
of the
Snake?
Night.
Might be my new favorite song.
Is that by Tony Stanza?
No, it's David Coverdale.
Oh, sorry.
It's Whitesnakes, but he was the mastermind behind that.
He's been in that chair.
David Coverdale's has been in this chair.
Oh, yeah. Lick it, Donnie.
I'm still going to Christie's first.
good to know. Donnie Baker's
what
in the studio.
Human.
Along with Pat McAfee, NFL kicker, punter, occasional tackler. I had a chance to talk to your mom, Pat.
Oh, boy.
And she and I were saying the same thing, which is I love going to the games, and because we're friends and seeing you on the field, the only time I get really scared is when there's that one guy with the ball and you're the only one left.
Yeah, my mom has zero confidence in me.
That's one way to look at it.
That's not the issue. No, she's concerned that you've got an incredibly athletic guy running full speed, and you're a very fine athlete in your own right. But that's hard to tackle him.
Yeah, it's been that way my whole life. Really.
She gets real worried.
Yeah, she used to just have her hands over her face.
Is it over yet?
Yeah. She used to, like, my rookie in second year, she used to just cover her face. Just, like, I think she was, like, don't get fired, don't get fired, don't get fired.
No.
We're
she
good
just
for
wants
another
you to
rep. All right,
just wants
good.
You to get hurt.
No, she's, she's like, she's lost total confidence in me.
Do they pat you down before games? Do they?
What
do you want me to have?
Well, if he's one-on-one and afraid of pursuit drill, a few Chinese stars would help save a touchdown. I could train you.
Believe it or not, more with Donnie Baker coming up next hour with Pat McAfee. But also coming up next hour, Lewis Black and Dennis Regan. And next, comedian and actress Tracy Smith. It's all on the best of the Bob and Tom Show.
There's more. It's the best of the Bob and Tom Show. From the NEPA studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Got something to say? Send us an email, bobandtom@bobandtom.com.
And we're back. It's hour two of the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. This is Christopher speaking from the Napa Auto Parts Studio. Let's check in and do a segment here with comedian and actress Tracy Smith.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Comedian Tracy Smith is here with us.
That's now. How you stop it, though. You just go ahead and drink with him.
Tracy, it's got to be different. Obviously, being you work in a job, being a touring comedian and actress in the world of comedy, particularly in the comedy, because it's primarily a guy's world.
It is,
and You're not like the male comics. You don't sleep with the waitresses. Although if you do, I'd like some photographs. That's all I'm asking.
You want to see my new purse?
Do you get, and I, in the past, and I know you've got a boyfriend now, but back in the day,
Back in the day.
When you first started doing this, would you get off stage and had a lot
of guys?
I have
gotten hit on by waitresses, by the by. Yeah. Actually, last time I was in Louisville, and I got hit on by the most adorable 22-year-old bisexual girl. And you know, I gave the matter some consideration. You know, it's like there's a certain point in your life you go like, well, what the heck? My parents are, you know, gone. Who's going to know? Why not? You know. And then I started thinking, well, she's like a lot younger than me, you know. I thought, 22-year-old boy sees me naked, he'll go, well, that's what an older woman looks like. You know, 22-year-old girl sees me naked, she'll be like, I better start taking care of myself. It's never too early to moisturize.
Moisturize. You got to moisturize.
How about seriously, do guys ever hit on you when you come off stage?
Some guys do. You know, it happens. I mean, you know, you just got to be, they tend to be a little bit more confident than
they should be.
Then, I don't know. It's like, women will go, oh, you, with the guys who get hit on the road, it's like, oh, you're so funny. Ah. But guys don't come up giggling to a female comic. They tend to go, I'm a confident man. I found your stuff really smart and blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of thing. They're,
so you want,
have
you
a
want,
smart
so,
swagger.
So if them. I was going to hit on you, you'd want me to come up and go, you're so funny.
You know, kind of fling your hair around.
Well, that'd be impossible.
Yeah. I tend
to. Oh, wait a second. Oh, ouch.
Well, sorry.
I'll have to slap you with this instead.
But, you know, back up a little.
Yeah.
Just flip that out of the way.
You ever seen my Charlie Chaplin impression?
No.
Stand back.
I have not.
It's true. I tend to be the one who does the picking up. You know, and some women complain to me about, you know, how can I meet somebody? I'm like, you know what? Buy a guy a beer once in a while. You know, maybe Mr. So-and-so isn't coming up to you because he knows it's going to cost him $10 just to say hello, and you're going to tell him to, you know, go
right.
away. And then if you don't tell him to go away, it's going to cost him another $20 just to get the wrong phone number. You know, so, you know, just send a guy a beer. You know, why should they be the ones? You know, just pick him up.
Have you ever given out a fake number?
Have I ever given out a fake number?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I always think, what's the point in that?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I like
so my number
a lot.
Is 555.
555. I hate you. Write that down.
1-900.
It's like, you know, can I have your phone number? No.
You
know, I'm pretty direct. You know, why not? Why lie to somebody? You know, you're never going to get this. No. No. I'm never going to talk to you. So, no. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking with comedian Tracy Smith. Christy Lee is also at the news desk. Let's grab a couple quick headlines. We'll get back to Tracy's personal life in a few minutes. It's fascinating. I think. Let me ask. Can I go back
you
in
know,
your life a little
you
bit?
No. Wait a minute. You have the uncanny ability of complimenting
no,
someone and
sounding
them
facetious
feel
at the same
so,
time,
and making that person feel so stupid and awful. Oh no! We'll get back to your life. It sounds fascinating.
It's kind of like staying at one
yes.
of those.
Please Patton tell me more.
Patton Oswalt said that about those 4-star hotels where they say it would be my utmost pleasure, sir. You know, like, is he telling me off? Like,
kiss
is he
my
actually?
Ass
no, I'm sorry if it came off wrong. Let me just say this. I think it's fascinating that you grew up 400 miles north of civilization in Canada. You're one of 9 kids.
Yeah.
And what an interesting life. And now you're living in Los Angeles, touring all over the country. I think it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. Well, you know, it's a small town.
How did you get from there to there?
My parents moved to Florida when I was 13. And, you know, and right, it's good because I have so many sisters. They pretty much took all the decent men in the town. So we had to move on. I was like, one of my sisters is married to one of my ex-boyfriends. It was like a sad day. I went away to college and then I came home and she was dating my boyfriend. And my father said, you know, we were driving in the driveway and his car was in the driveway. And I'm like crying. And my dad says, suck it up. You know, she's got 2 kids and she has to stay in this crappy town. So, you know, you're young.
Did she? Like, I have a question, a protocol question.
Yeah.
When you have a sister and she's dating your old boyfriend, does she call you first?
Did she? No, she didn't.
I think you the know. Protocol is you do talk it over before.
She should have. Yeah. She should have. You know, I kind of had. I had a suspicion when I left. I said, you know, this was a while back. You know, he was taking me to the train station. And I said, you left all your tapes at my house, and he said, oh, it's okay. I'll go get them. And I'm like, you know, I have a feeling because she hung out with us all the time. She was my best buddy. And that was, you know, but I glad, you know, if things would have turned out differently, I'd be back in Canada going, well, it's moose hunting season. Mike's got a tag and he hadn't hit anything yet. Bleep, bleep, bleep. You know, this is what I'd be doing now.
Is that what she's doing now?
That's what she's doing. Mike.
Yeah,
Mike
but
got
she's got a man. I'm
year,
sorry. Did I say that out loud?
I have a man.
Oh, wow.
You got, you know, a couple of them.
I got. I leave one crying at the airport.
You know, your behavior reflects on all of us.
Yeah.
You
know, wow.
You know. Let me ask you this, Tracy. Yes. Seriously.
Seriously. Seriously.
I know you've got your new boyfriend. We'll call him. We'll call him Don.
Okay. His name is Ray.
We'll call him Ray.
We'll call him Ray.
Okay. Ray's your boyfriend. Ray.
Ray's my boyfriend.
I want you to answer this. I want you to answer this. Yes or no, and don't hesitate at all.
All right.
Do you have a plan B immediately if Ray's out of the picture?
I plan on, if he's out of the picture, I'm going to go buy a house all by myself in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's what I'm going to do.
That's a plan B.
Yeah, that's a huge plan.
I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say no, plan B is Don.
But I'm scared. Like, I've never owned a home, and I'm terrified. It was like, you know, should I buy something kind of close to the neighbors? Like, I'm afraid of, you know, the plumber, like, not only, you know, overcharging me, but sexually assaulting me. I'm like terrified. It's like, this is terrifying.
Don't worry about
being a woman
that.
On your own. You know,
you'll be fine.
But I don't need, you know, I really would like Ray to come with me. I mean, he's in his 40s. You know, it's nice to be with a grown up for a change. You know, I mean, because how long do you keep messing around with 25-year-old boys? So it's like, right, chick? You know.
Right. Plus, a lot of the 25-year-old, their checks bounce.
Really?
Yeah. I love younger men. I think they're awesome. Like, you know, younger men, they still believe in their dreams. I just think that's adorable. It's like, tell me again about your 5-year plan. Oh, yeah. You can do it.
Gosh, that is so interesting.
Then everybody keeps asking me what he does. I'm like, I don't care. He does me.
Tracy Smith is our guest, a very lovely woman.
I think it's
a great idea to go get a house.
I want a house. I want a dog door. I want to sleep in and hear flap, 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 and listen to the dog go do her business on her own. Because I live in an apartment. You know, I have to walk the dog. I have to get up. She's there.
What kind of dog do you have?
She's a border collie shepherd mix. And like I said, she's old, you know, and she doesn't even bark. I mean, not much of a watchdog, but I feel really safe walking around late at night with a quarter-pound baggie of poop in my hand. I will stink you up. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? Can you imagine if you had a time machine and you came back from, say, 40 years ago to see contemporary life? That's one of the things you wouldn't have seen 40 years
ago. People picking up dog poop?
No, but in my neighborhood, people walk around with the baggie
sure.
of poop.
Oh, and then you love garbage day because everybody's got their garbage cans out, and you're like, da-da-da-da, and you sneak in your garbage can, your poop into everybody's garbage can.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really, you know, you don't want to walk around with that all day.
But when you do have it, people hold it way out, number one, because it's poop, and number two, they want you to know that
they're cleaning
that
up,
they're
after,
cleaning
their
up after their dog.
Yeah, my dog's a girl, so when she squats to pee. And people they'll see her squat to pee, and they'll scream out their car window.
Yeah, oh, I had
like,
that
pick
happen.
It up. I'm like, she's peeing.
Oh, how'd that happen?
I had a guy come running out of his house going, stop him!
I know.
Stop him? Wow.
These are the same people that spread horse manure all over their lawns, and then we have to pick up our dog poop off their lawns.
Well, I think you should pick up your dog poop. I agree.
Yes.
It's just that
I was walking.
You have to wait for them to produce it before you can pick them up.
Yeah, you can't stop them. I mean, if we're there to pick it up. Like,
I was walking Gibbs, and this old lady pulled up in her big Cadillac. Why didn't you pick that? I cussed her once.
Did you?
Really? No.
I figured I could take her. She was about 80, 80, 70, 80.
Okay. Could we grab that over there, please?
Morning, Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, Bob and Tom, this is Dr. Phil.
Hey, Dr. Phil.
I understand you have a guest today that likes to live it up and thinks she's mixed up. Is that?
It's comedian Tracy Smith. She's beautiful. She's very sweet, very nice, and she's got a new boyfriend.
You say you tend to be the one who does the pickup. Is that true?
Yes, I do.
It's what you said backstage.
Can you cure me of that?
You say you can't find any pretty bridesmaids. I mean, is that what you said? I mean, I've been to the county fair a few times. I've seen a few. You say you flirt with bisexuals, too. Hey, you're more loose than a pair of roller skates without brakes. I mean, did you say you have so many boyfriends you need a doggy door, or did I misunderstand?
No, but that's a good idea.
I mean, hey, will you look me in the face?
Okay, I'll look you in the face.
You have a dog? Is that true?
I have a dog.
I think I could sum up your problems with something that may be troubling you.
Go ahead, Dr. Phil.
It ain't about poop. You need to put the poop bags away and go take on the day.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. It's always a pleasure. We're taking a break. Coming right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
More of the best of Bob and Tom coming up in just a few minutes. Napa Auto Parts is proud to be affiliated with the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. So let's take a minute here and hear from these guys with Bob and Tom on the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund.
Hi, this is Tom.
And this is Chick from the Bob and Tom Show.
Napa is helping the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund raise money to assist military personnel who suffer from traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress.
If you want to learn more about the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and all the ways NAPA helps, visit your local Napa Auto Parts store.
We had a chance to speak with U.S. Army veteran Spencer Milo about his experiences.
I had two traumatic brain injuries while I was active, and I actually got my treatment at the National Intrepid Center of Excellence, which is what the Intrepid Spirit Centers are based off of the model. So the Spirit Centers are the military's number one traumatic brain injury and psychological health treatment facilities. Once you walk into these buildings, you no longer feel like a number. You actually feel like a patient. And to be honest, you know, there's such beautiful buildings, and they're so much different from what you would typically see in the military that you almost don't realize that you're actually in a doctor's office until you really get back to one of the rooms.
NAPA is a huge supporter of the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, and throughout the years, they've raised money to assist military personnel and their families.
Support the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund with the NAPA bucket for $3.99. Not only will you get 20% off three or more items you can fit in the bucket, but NAPA will donate $1 to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund for every purchase. At participating NAPA Auto Parts stores, offer expires July 31st, 2017.
Coming up in just a few minutes on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show, more with Donnie Baker and Pat McAfee. But next, comedians Louis Black and Dennis Regan. It's all part of the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
More from Bob and Tom is on the way. Stay tuned. This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Bob and Tom Show from the Napa Auto Parts Studio. This is Christopher speaking on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. The cast will be back next Monday after a week's vacation. Let's do a segment here with Louis Black and Dennis Regan on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Hello.
Worldwide on American Forces Radio, coast to coast on great radio stations all over the place. Thanks so much for joining us. With us in the studio, we have Washington Redskins fan Louis Black. He came here to talk Redskins with Chick McGee.
Oh, that's right.
You can see Chick has his little dolls and
action figures.
Thank you. Memorabilia.
Dolls.
Louis Black is here with us in the studio. Louis, hello, sir.
Hi there.
And we have comedian Dennis Regan. He is here also. Dennis is not a Washington Redskins fan, but he is a
golf fan.
Avid golfer, and you'll find his podcast, T2Grin.
Got that? T2Grin.
Okay.
T2Grin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how would
that
you
is
spell
really
Tita Grin?
That is really throwing you, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I think if I heard Tita Grin, I'd
Tita Grin.
He doesn't like it.
It threw us for the first couple of months of doing the podcast.
Like,
we
he doesn't like it
right.
For two reasons. It's confusing in his brain, and you didn't ask him what the title should be.
Exactly.
Those are the two things.
it's not too late to change it. You can. What would you change it?
Oh, he's got ideas. Oh,
I have had our people put it on our website so they don't have to even think about how to spell it.
There you go.
It's very clear to them. Now, let's find out what's happening with our guests. First of all, a positive note, Lewis's mom is going to be receiving some beautiful flowers from our friends at Pro Flowers for Mother's Day.
Thanks. Well, that's nice.
And we will sign them with your name so she knows where they're from.
No, sign them with your name because the last time I sent my mother 3-4 years ago, I got her a big bouquet of flowers. Mm-hmm. I mean, massive. And because she is one of those ones, she's like, why is there a Mother's Day? Mother's Day is every day, Louis.
So, all right.
I don't want gifts on Mother's Day. So I finally thought, flower. All right, I'm going to do this and see what happens. And I sent it to her. And I said, she calls me up and she goes, you sent those flowers. I told you, I don't want them. And she said, and besides, where am I supposed to put them? Mm-hmm. I said, put them on a coffee table. They're too heavy. They're too heavy. Now, who's going to take them off? And it was like, it wasn't worth it. It was a half hour of being berated. You can't mess up the routine. You ruin the routine in any way.
Well, right? I know that your mother is about the same age as my mom. My mom is going to be turning 96 in about a week and a half. So it'll give her something to, as you say, change the routine, something to think about.
We'll mix it up and send them in a box.
Well, actually, because my mother thrived. As long as my mother has something to be angry about, mm-hmm. she will continue to live.
Gee, I wonder where you got that.
Yeah, I know.
Did you ever notice that?
It was just a genetic thing.
Well, the flowers will do it for a while. Then. Yeah. The flowers will.
Now, you have kind of a famous slow burn in your approach often on television. And when I see you, do you have to really be careful not to let loose with certain language? Do you always remember, okay, wait a minute, I'm on TV right now, I got to
Oh, no, I have a different, yeah, there's like a different part of my brain. Mm-hmm. It goes to like, you know, there's a different section, and it's in, sure. It's, got the it's mostly in black and white. There's no color there. Uh-huh. It's really, Kansas.
It's actually quite profound.
It really is. You no colorful language, huh? Yeah, I like
you
that.
Can't, you can't. Because sometimes when you get real, I know on this show, sometimes look, people get really relaxed and then they forget that, well, these things are on.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, and on radio, you got to be kind of careful what you say. But on TV, because sometimes you're almost live or live, you got to really, if you're, especially if you're doing like one of those cable news shows, they bring in Lewis Black for commentary, you got to.
Yeah. But what's good is I can get to that point and stop because they know what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, which helps. Just but I've only, in the entire time that I've done radio and television, only once.
Really, one mistake.
One mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're at home doing, you know, you get like 10 phoners in a row at home.
Oh,
and
sure.
And you're just wandering around your right. own apartment. Yeah. So you start to drift and you forget.
you forget you're
really talking yeah. to other people.
See, we're usually on the other end of that. We'll be talking to someone and, you know, a kid will walk in the room. Or you'll be able to tell, wait a minute, did I just hear a garage door
yeah.
open?
Right. You have a dog.
You spill coffee on your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or someone will walk in and you're
Did you just turn on the blender?
Just 30 seconds. Just give it 30 seconds.
Yeah, but that's particularly funny if it's some national issue and it's not a comedian on the phone. It's we have General Petraeus on the phone. We've awakened him at home, and the missiles are firing. And yeah, you hear the perk.
Well, we weren't sure if it was his home or not.
do we hear a woman in the background? I'm sorry, General. We're hanging out with Lewis Black and Dennis Regan, two great stand-up comedians. Lewis arrived at the world of stand-up comedy via the theater.
Yeah.
You're a playwright. You've written a bunch of books.
Yeah.
And you currently have a play in production, right? Or
I do have a play in production.
What was it called again?
It's called One Slight Hitch. They're doing it in this summer. It goes to Cape Cod.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
Wellfleet. If you're in Cape Cod this summer, in August, you might mm-hmm. want to
Is it funny or is it serious?
No, it's... if my name wasn't on it, nobody would know I wrote it. It's a romantic comedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a farce.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
I know. You would love it.
You have a soft side.
It's
that.
Well, it was written for mercenary reasons originally. I started writing it 35 years ago when I thought I was going to be in the theater.
And 35 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it was fairly successful. And mm-hmm. and people were kind of latching on. And it was optioned for Broadway.
Wow.
And I wrote it because most of the plays I write were like... You know, my stand-up, a little dark and
sure.
really,
angry.
Not right.
Uh-huh. Not very romantic.
I was just thinking if I could describe one. I mean, it was like my plays were like the first one of the – was it's Dorothy. It's a one-act play. It's only Dorothy. She comes back to Kansas, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, there's no place like home. And she's now 75, and she's wandering around the backyard, and there are crosses everywhere, but they're all buried in the backyard.
Right.
Toto, she's dragging behind her. The dog's dead. You know, it's just this miserable vision. So that was the kind of stuff I wrote.
Wow.
So that stuff I knew was not going to make me a living.
Right.
So literally something happened to me, and I went, wow, that's actually a great idea for a funny play. And mm-hmm. I wrote it, and then... it only got to a certain level. It never got to Broadway. It never was done a lot regionally in other theaters. And eventually, so then 30 years later, a friend of mine said, we should do this again. And I
rewrote it?
I spent the last 12 years rewriting it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Is it contemporary? Are there cell phones in it?
No, cell phones. It takes place just after Reagan becomes president.
Okay, because the cell phones ruin everything.
They do, and this is. There's not even a. There's only one phone in it.
They had cell phones, but they were as big as an ottoman.
Yeah, they did.
They were calling in napalm strikes.
Those big ones.
Yeah. 40 clicks up the river, you bastard! Yeah,
Charlie doesn't surf.
That's right.
My favorite line. That's the best half of a movie ever made.
Yeah, it is.
The first half of that movie, I love. Now we're getting obscure here.
Apocalypse Now.
Haven't seen
Starts great, ends badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ends really slow.
It doesn't pay off. But Charlie doesn't surf. It's the. Hmm. Do you think
I'm a girl? Sorry.
Do you think I've always wondered because certain people have certain lines that will always be associated with them. They must get really tired of. You know,
like
if you're Ned Beatty, you're going to hear.
Yeah. Get them panties down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you think if you're Robert Duvall, you.
every waiter at breakfast. I love the smell of omelets in the morning.
And think they're being clever. I think it's the first time.
Yeah, like every day he gets his omelet with that. I would just be wondering about that. It's kind of cool, though, that you have, I guess, that one association.
Well, I don't think they think it's cool to have.
Yeah, I don't think Ned Beatty thinks it's cool. Yeah.
Squeal.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
Squeal.
He's great in that movie.
Well, sure he is. But, I mean, look what it's followed him all his life.
And I can assume on Ned Beatty's behalf, I thank you for bringing that up again, Tom. He appreciates it. Probably.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's just some great lines. And if I hear that line one more time.
Right.
Now, Lewis, when you were a kid, when you were in high school, were you in the plays?
No, I was a terrible actor. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of stumbled in. I like going to theater. I mean, it's probably the fruitiest thing I could say on the air. But I really did. I liked it. And I kind of found it to be kind of the more I went, the more kind of fascinated I
was. But you never were Riff and West Side Story? Or...
No. And I'd audition and it would be just sad. Just go away.
Maria.
But what I ended up doing was you have these talent shows. And, you know, usually they're very sweet. And usually it's like two old spinsters. They would frame it with like these the two aunts in the attic and be looking at pictures and having memories. And then they would, you know, we decided we'd do it. We'd have a talent show thing. And they'd have to kind of, they were auditioning for me to see if they could be on this show.
Right.
And I wrote my part. Mm-hmm. And we did it. And that's really where I started to get the bug. Because all I did, they bring these kids out and they do these, you know, they do whatever they did, the 3-minute rite of spring dance or whatever it was, because they're all horrific. And then I would see they would finish and I'd go, that's awful. And that you wasted my time coming in here and the audience go, what? And that was it. And I was hooked.
Lewis Black is on tour as a stand-up comedian. Are you aware that you're on the road for this?
Yeah, man.
Forever? Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
Yeah. Save on rent if you don't have to pay for an apartment.
And you'll end up in Cape Cod in the summertime.
And I'll end up in Cape Cod.
Do you have any hobbies?
Nice. Golf.
That's okay.
Oh. I wouldn't call it a sport for me. It's a hobby.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Any good?
I'm good on the level of self-loathing. Mm-hmm. The amount that I can hate myself, that's the reason I play the game.
I think that's the...
There's a whole new realm of hate.
That's the full living color part of his brain over here.
No, but I like playing it.
Do you play with any other comedians?
Well, I play with the delightful miss who sends her best, Kathleen Maddy.
Okay. Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And John Bowman.
John's a very fine comedian. Yes. John is a guy who is a marked man. We discussed this not too long ago. John is a very fine actor. He appeared in an episode of a show that is ancient, Miami Vice.
He played
the baby doll killer?
The baby
pedophile.
Doll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he still gets recognized for that.
It was the most disturbing. It was one of the most disturbing shows in the history of television.
Sure.
He would kill a little girl and then would leave a baby doll at the site dressed up like the little girl. It was it was awful.
It was horrible.
And then they told him to back off. You know, they had him come in and dub some of the stuff. You know, they reworked scenes with him because they said, it's too creepy. And they basically made it creepier.
So now you're being too creepy?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow. Wasn't he in a Seinfeld episode?
Yeah.
Teddy Padillac or something.
Yeah, very good.
Twirled an umbrella.
That's it, the umbrella guy. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Now, also in the studio, we have comedian Dennis Regan. Dennis, let's see now. I wanted to ask you a couple things regarding you're growing kind of a handsome beard. The Amish goatee. No mustache, just the bottom.
Handsome beard. That's what he was going to say.
I think he was
going to
say
that. I'm not really growing. I'm not growing it. It's already grown.
That's it.
Oh, we're
that's
done here?
That's it.
Yeah, very, no, I just goof around. I just, I'll probably shave it before tonight's.
Okay. It's got a distinctive salt and peppery.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Primarily just, salt.
I'm getting a little bit older, and I just turned 58, wow. Which concerns me a little bit because when I was 29, I had a midlife crisis.
Wow. That's not good.
No. Here's one thing I like. 50. Here's one thing I like about getting older. I took a nap about a month ago, and I woke up with a stiff neck. Yeah, mm-hmm. I hurt myself sleeping.
I know.
Yeah, you ever had a sleep related injury?
I have.
It's kind of discouraging. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I have to face facts now. I'm getting a little bit older, and I just can't sleep like I could when I was younger.
Yeah.
When I was 20 years old, I could sleep 10 hours, wake up, and feel terrific.
Yeah.
Have a bowl of Apple Jacks and go back to bed.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now I can't take a 2 hour nap without pulling a muscle in my neck. Yeah. Apparently, I have to do some stretching before I turn in. You know, limber up a little bit before I hit day.
Sad, isn't it?
I think the other thing about it, you know, you're old when if there's anything in your back seat in your car. If you want that, you're going to have to get out of the car, pull over.
Yeah. There's no that twist, that reach.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of guys in rehab right now.
Yep.
Not
rotator
for booze,
cuff.
So I blew my rotator cuff.
Yeah, I pop out of
getting a magazine out of my back seat.
Yes, another thing too is memory. Memory's getting worse, and you ever walk into a room and you have no idea why I went in there.
Yeah. Every day.
Well, I can top that. Last week I flew to Chicago. Standing in the middle of Chicago going, I know I came here for something.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking for a piece of paper to write on. Then I fly back into LAX. I can't remember where I parked my car. I can't remember if it's
right there.
I can't remember. No, I can't even remember what parking lot. I can't remember if it's the parking zone or the parking spot or the parking
or stop. What car he's driving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's I have an issue with that a lot.
Sir Parks a lot, Parkaholics Anonymous.
I need
Parkaholics.
I need an app.
They're all out there.
There's not a Parkaholics.
Then it hit me. I had flown out of Burbank Airport.
Oh.
My car's over at Burbank.
Oh, that's why you should always use the valet, Tom. Then you can't lose your car. Guys will bring it right to you.
And it's virtually the same price.
Yeah.
You lose the ticket.
Awesome.
Oh, I've started to do that.
You have to tip. It's not that much more.
But I mean, if I'm going to the grocery store, they don't have a valet. So, you know.
Well, in Los Angeles, they do.
But you know, after you take off, the valet goes in and rubs his junk on your steering wheel.
No, he doesn't.
You can't go in. You can't go in and get a can of peas and remember what car and where you're at. Never mind.
My car smells like ass. No, I did have a thing recently. I was at a large box store, and I came out, and I was
buying a large box.
My car has one of those things where when you walk up to the car, you touch the door handle. You don't have to touch it, but just touch it.
Yeah, and it unlocks.
And it unlocks.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And so I'm standing next to my car, touching the door handle, and nothing is happening.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, this thing must be busted. So
can I guess what happened?
Wrong car.
You're at the wrong car.
Some guy had the nerve to have the same car I did.
Oh, my God.
So then it was a couple, and they had a baby with them, and I went, oh, hey, I'm sorry, I have a car just like this.
Were they in the car while you were trying
to
get
they came,
in?
No, they came up. They came up. They came up to me, and I said, I've got
the way you look like you looked into the car. Oh, hi. I'm sorry.
No, I have a car. I have a car just like this. And I go,
why did you feel the need to explain yourself?
Because it looked like
I was breaking into their car.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my car would have been nice if it had been close. My car was on the other side of the lot.
And red. And your car was red.
The good news is they had a kid to load in, so I was able to walk to my car, get in, drive around. And,
so they saw the fact that
and
you
wave
really
and say,
did.
Okay,
oh, wow. And then you felt obligated to bring the car
you're
back.
You're damn right.
Of course I did.
You circled him a couple of times.
I wanted him to know I
wasn't trying
to steal
their car. I can't
look
like a fool in front of total strangers. I won't have it.
He has this need to always – he's just so afraid of being embarrassed.
Now,
amazing.
I gave him the, hey, nice choice in cars.
Uh-huh.
Then when you get back to your car, you see it's a big canoe strapped to the top. You know, that's right.
I didn't know the one
with the canoe on it.
You know, they probably don't really care.
Yeah. No, they thought someone was trying to break into their car.
Nobody cares.
Well, or you do the other thing, which is my reaction is to just take my shame and take it away from the air.
That's
and
right.
Then leave. Get
and
out.
Leave. Just, yeah. I don't want to see. I'll never see these people again. Yeah. I don't want them to see me.
No,
now.
I want them to know that I wasn't breaking into their car.
But I have a question, though. What does this touch the door and it opens?
You keep a key fob in your pocket.
You don't use a key. You don't put a key in the
car.
You push a button and it starts.
It sounded. I was thinking it was a theft device, you know.
Thing.
Anybody can do it.
I don't know. What is it?
If that's in your pocket.
It's in my pocket. If this is in my pocket, if I walk up to my car, I just touch the car and by the handle and it opens.
It's
and
a
you
great
would think,
thing until you leave the fob.
If you leave the fob in the car, it'll still work?
Once
it starts.
You can't lock it.
You can't lock it.
You can't lock the car if the keys are in it.
I don't know how it knows. I don't either.
But it does.
But here's the problem.
Here's the bad thing.
Here's the thing. Say you're dropping someone at the airport.
I'm dropping someone at the airport.
Yes.
And you've got the fob in your pocket. You get to the airport. You hop out of the car. Say, see ya. You're driving. And you go walking the airport.
A nice trip.
You can drive the car, but you can't ever start it again.
But
if
once you park it, you're stuck
parked,
there.
They have to ship you the keys.
I see. So
and that's when the valet rubs his junk on your steering wheel.
My car smells like ass.
Right. We're back to that.
The Best of the Bob and Tom Show continues in just a few minutes more with Donnie Baker and Pat McAfee on The Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
More is on the way. Stay tuned. This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Become a Bob and Tom VIP and get your Bob and Tom fix 24/7. Get all the info in the VIP area at bobandtom.com.
This is the Napa Auto Parts Studio, and this is Christopher speaking on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. We've heard from Donnie Baker once already this morning. Let's hear from him again. Apparently, you had the day off that day. Donnie Baker and Pat McAfee here on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Hello.
That's Bob. I'm Tom. Chick McGee at the sports desk. Christy Lee, looking great at the news desk today.
Thank you, Tom.
In the interview loft from the world of the NFL, that man is Pat McAfee.
Hola, amigos.
And then I'm not sure how to categorize our other guest in the studio. He is Donnie Baker.
Martial artist.
There you go.
Troubadour.
Natural-born badass. Mm-hmm. Full-blooded wolf.
NBB.
Now, are you part American Indian? Do you have any...
I don't know if I do or not.
Because your skills with the wolf.
He's a wolf.
Wolf, I mean.
Well, I have a sense of relatability to the wolf. You know, my mom Phyllis the other day tried to say she wanted to trace our heritage. Mm-hmm. So even though we're on a fixed income, we decided to get the Ancestry.com. Yes. And then when we uploaded our profile pictures, it kicked us out. Now we're on Ancestry.com. And now I've got to remember two passwords and two profile usernames.
Oh, that's got to be tough. We have Christy Lee at the Bob and
Tom. Sure, you're a fan of
News
Teen
Desk.
Wolf, then, if you're...
Teen Wolf. I don't like Teen Wolf.
You don't like the show Teen Wolf?
No.
What about Twilight?
It's fake. I don't know what that is.
Twilight? It's all about wolves.
If it's got... It ain't real wolves. I like... I like watching wolves in their natural. See, Pat, I study wolves. I can tell you how they hunt. I can tell you where I know where they lay their eggs. I've studied the shirt I have now.
The pattern.
That's a rogue wolf.
A road wolf?
A rogue wolf. He left
rogue.
The pack.
I was going to say, they go on the road.
Did you take that picture?
No, I didn't take this picture. This is a dry fit wolf shirt.
A what?
It's a no wicking wolf.
Now, where do you... Now, do you have to travel to county fairs throughout the country to find a shirt like that? Where does one find a...
Here, good convenience stores, if they run a sale, sometimes have them. Stuckey's is known to have a good wide assortment of wolf shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Plus a nice log bar.
Log bars are good.
Oh, those log bars.
It's the only true way to recycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what, Donnie? It's National Catfish Day today. I don't know if you're a fisherman.
Oh, I love seafood.
You like catfish?
I swear to God I do.
Uh-huh. Is catfish seafood?
Oh, sorry.
Hey,
talking
Christy, if you want to reach in my pants, I'll let you go noodling. That's how you catch him, catfish.
I don't want to catch a minnow, Donnie.
Two hands,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Who found out you could do that with the catfish
noodling?
And the noodling?
That's what I want to know. Who started that?
I have fisted a fish before.
That's the deal where you...
You have?
Really? I have fisted a fish before. Yeah, 30-pounder.
Right in the mouth, right?
I punched him right in the mouth.
Wore
a glove, though. No
wait a
glove,
is this
no
the thing
fist.
Where you? This
yeah.
is the thing where
no
you
No glove,
stick,
no love.
You stick your arm in a hole in the bottom of a river, right?
Yep.
And then the... The
it, attack, it attacks it your hand because it thinks that you're trying to take its hole. So the way catfish work is like there's only a certain amount of holes. I was in a lake. So there's only a certain amount of holes in a lake that have been made. Mm-hmm. And the bigger the hole, the bigger the fish. So if you get to that hole, the biggest fish in the pond is always in that hole.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to find that hole. So whenever you go
sounds
in
sounds like you on a Friday night at a bar, Donnie.
I was going to say, it sounds like Last Call at Boonies. It's the same sport or same approach.
So you do you have to put your head underwater then?
Oh, yeah, you're fully submerged underwater.
So how long are you typically
down
there?
I was with some 16-year-olds from South Carolina. All had big old hogs in their lips. They're spitting. I said, how old are you guys? He said, 16. And we were on camera at this point because they were trying to film something. And mm-hmm. I was like, is this good that you guys are just chewing? They said, well, we tell them on TV that we're 19.
I see.
I said, okay, makes sense. So I go out with these bunch of high schoolers on their parents' boat. Mm-hmm. Looked a lot like your boat, I think. I've never seen your boat. But
I've got fresh pictures. You ain't seen the latest ones. But my boat can handle noodling and catfish. And I've had a stringer full of catfish. We love seafood. So I'm sure it's the same. Same thing. That
probably the same boat. They probably stole your boat. South Carolina.
So you're swimming, and then you go down in the.
So we go out.
How deep's the water?
We go out, and we get to like it's like 7 feet deep.
Oh my gosh!
So it's real muddy and unclear. And
oh yeah, you can't see anything. So they say
feel around.
These guys are wearing literally jean cutoff shorts, like the most American people I've ever met in my life. And we get in there, and they say, "I'm gonna take your hand, and I'm gonna put your hand in the hole, and as soon as you get in there." this thing's going to attack your hand, so be ready for it. And then all you got to do is fist the mouth and fist the gills. And then lock in. And
you're,
it.
You're all holding your breath, and you're 7 feet underwater at this point.
And you're wearing a glove.
Yeah, you got to be real American to do this thing. God. Yep, you're wearing a glove because the inside.
It bites
of
you, right?
They have no teeth, but they have like sandpaper on the inside of their mouth. So I get in there, and literally, as soon as my hand went in the hole, this thing just engulfed it. Like, and you feel like your hand get like sucked into this thing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find the hole. Donnie, you've been there. I couldn't find the gill to get out. So
right.
I was like literally punching the inside side of this catfish.
Uh-huh.
And I find the gill, I get out. And now getting him out of his hole is like.
Oh, that had to be.
I mean, he doesn't want to leave.
I'm sure he
obviously.
Doesn't. Uh-huh.
So you're like fighting this like 30-pound animal down there. And a fish isn't an animal.
And you're sure. And you're wanting some air, aren't you?
Yeah, and I'm at this point, I'm screaming.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's got my hand! Yeah. And the guy, like, little kid's like, get him out! So I, like, pull him out, I get in there, and this thing was
30
huge.
Pounder.
And you just toss it up on the boat, like, it's a full workout. I couldn't take it. I just did one fish. I fisted one fish and got out of there. It was like 15 minutes I was on that lake.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time, though. I can never fish for a catfish.
Do they use the term
way.
Fisting?
No, they say noodling.
Yeah,
or
it's probably a better idea.
Or what else is it called? There's like a bunch of different names for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a couple of TV shows. Yeah. But all the TV shows are rigged.
Are they now?
Yeah, the 16-year-old
like
kids.
Like a stocked lake, you mean?
Yeah, they say, we ain't like them fake TV shows. We actually find our fish. We don't put them in boxes. They said they put them in boxes and just you go down there and grab a box.
I just love fried catfish. I don't care about it.
Come
the
fist
panic.
The fish. South
no,
Carolina. I got the
I'm
group of guys
that.
You should do
I
it with.
Yeah,
that's
I didn't know they had TV show. Like my mom, Phyllis, one of her fantasies is Bill Dance, the famous
Oh, sure.
Fisherman.
Bill Dance is great.
She
the
likes,
fisherman. Yeah.
That's one of the only
Who's
two
Bill
people
Dance?
That gets her. Oh, he wears a Tennessee hat.
Yeah, he's a fisherman.
He's
he has
on
a show.
Ranger bass boat, mm-hmm. but he don't do noodling. But she'll sit there. That's basically her spank vision is watching that. I sort of got Tim and she and Elvis. She loved Elvis when he was in his prime.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
She'll
like
be
alive.
She'll get drunk and every Friday you'll hear her, you know. I let Bill bait the hook, but Elvis gets to gut it and she'll sit there and I'm sorry you had to hear that.
She probably likes that there's a Bill Dance blooper video. Has she seen that? That's really funny.
She
loved that.
She probably ain't watching for the bloopers, Christy. She
I
wants
don't know.
To see him hook something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Nice.
Tom, you should do it, I feel like. You
Tom
should.
Would never do that.
No.
I guess there was gators.
Oh, there
in
you go,
the,
in the pond?
The lake that I was in.
Hmm.
They didn't tell me that until...
When did they, when they told you that after the fact?
Yeah, because we get the catfish on the thing, and I'm like, are we going to string this up, or are we going to leave it in the boat? And they're like, oh, gators will get it. I said, that's a joke. They said, no, there's gators in here. And mm-hmm. I immediately crapped my pants.
Mm-hmm. Game over.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. I think that's gator bait.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to do
that's
that.
The reason why I didn't.
More coming up next hour on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. Comedian Sean Morey plus Mike McRae, the Mayor Drew Hastings, and Matt Weinhold. Hour 3 of the Best of the Bob and Tom Show for a Wednesday. Coming up next. Stay tuned.
Hang on. You won't want to miss what's coming up next. This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. Bob and Tom! From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Download the new Bob and Tom Show app now. Never be without your Bob and Tom. Go to your app store or see the link at bobandtom.com.
I got a gal with just one eye.
Yeah.
No depth of field, but sweet as pie. And I just don't carry on. If a vision isn't stereo. To me, she'll always be the tops. My sweet little psycholops. She's the one eye, she's the one eye love. She's the one eye, she's the one eye love. Now you might wonder what she's thinking. Cause it looks like she's winking.
In arguments I yell and cry. But you just can't see the other side. It's worse than it looks, says her mother, 'cause she's blind in one eye, blonde in the other. Well, she's the one I, one I, one I. She's the one I, one I love. She's the one I, one I, one I. She's the one I, one I love. Now how it happened, she just won't spill. Was it Scissor Sprint or William Tell? Well, the eye got put out and was never found. Gone to take a look around. My Columbo cutie, Popeye Punkin. Sammy Jr., Sandy Duncan. Oh, she's the one I, one I, one I. She's the one I, one I love. She's the one I, one I, one I. She's the one I, one I love. She's the one I, one I, one I. She's the one I, one I love.
This is the Bob and Tom Show from the Napa Auto Parts Studio. This is Christopher speaking. It's a best of week. The cast is on vacation, so we're bringing you more of the best of the Bob and Tom Show. Let's do a segment here with comedians Mike McCray and the mayor, Drew Hastings.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Thanks once again very much for joining us. We've got great guests today. Comedian Mike McCray. Also, we have Drew Hastings, who's currently in the smoking room. Okay, well, let's meet our new guest, shall we? He is comedian Mike McCray.
How's it going, folks?
Mike's a very funny
Mike,
guy.
Good to see you again.
Last time you were here, it happened to be the 30th anniversary of the famous Supreme Court case Roe versus Wade.
Of course, yes.
And it's probably...
keeps coming back up all the time.
There are certain Supreme Court cases that even a casual observer of the news... You'll often hear about Brown versus Board of Education, Griswold versus Connecticut,
sure.
Roe v. Wade. These are names that pop up in the news on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one's a little special. It was a weird case. You know, it came to pass, a young lady was pregnant, she wanted to have an abortion, but she couldn't because of the law. She challenged in the courts, went all the way through the court process, eventually won the case. The thing about Roe versus Wade is the whole thing took so long, they didn't legalize abortion in time for her to have the one she wanted, right? So all I'm saying is, wherever that kid is today, that is one dude who does not complain about how slow the legal process is in this country. Yeah, 3-month recess saved my prenatal ass. Thank you very much.
That's a good point.
It's probably rough growing up with a mom, too. You know, kids throwing a temper tantrum when he's 5 years old. I wish I was never born. You and me both, cowboy. Kind of the point. So you're lecturing him during his teenage years. Young man, now you listen to me. When I got pregnant with you, I fought the entire judicial system of this country. Eventually won a Supreme Court case so it could prevent your very existence, thereby causing a social issue which has rent the very fabric of our nation for the past 16 years. And now you want to mess with me about curfew? Pure balls, kid. Keep pushing me. I'll go get Murder One overturned. I have the same lawyers.
Oh, God.
It's probably a little rough. Oh,
Mike McCray. Well, if you can get comedy out of that. I wonder if anybody's ever tried to track down people like that. For example, Lee Oswald had two girls.
You mean like a where are they now kind of thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, where are Lee Oswald's two girls?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're running around with the Hilton sisters.
I didn't even know.
I doubt it.
Right. Oswald, I'm trying to think of the girl's name. Who is Marina? Marina was,
that was his wife.
Yeah. Marina? Mm-hmm.
And then there was the mom.
But
there were two.
Dodie? Was it Dodie?
I think it's probably better for everybody that they've been able to go on and lead.
They work in bookstores.
I imagine pretty decent lives, but those people are all out there, and you have to wonder where that kid is. And yeah, you're right, though. Boy, what a psychological blow that must be. That's going to be years of counseling.
Yeah, exactly. And, all that hoopla coincide on this person's 30th birthday. You know, he's having some lame-o 30th birthday party somewhere. Someone turns on the TV like, hey. Bunch of people celebrating my attempted murder 30 years ago. Is there a game on maybe we could watch instead?
Yeah, look, Mom gave me a cake. There's a hanger in it.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Yeah, Mom.
She
was a do-it-yourself kind of gal, old Mom was.
Hey.
Chick's
talking to Tom.
Chick's just mad because I pointed out that he's wearing red pajamas today.
It does look like you're wearing
this. This is a thermal Henley. Drew, back me up on this.
Yeah, it's a thermal Henley.
It looks like you're in a Western and you're about to go into one of those big bathtubs where they pour the hot water.
Yeah, right.
with your long johns on.
Oh, laugh it up. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right.
I'd come in here with an AK, you'll know that.
It looks like a pajama top. There's no color.
I was going to say, if it's a, you're using the Western theme, I'd say it looks like Chick just woke up and found out the chuck wagon was leaving. Hey!
Cookie! Cookie! Uh-huh.
All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Wasn't he always Cookie? In those
yes, ones? Always Cookie.
Hey, Cookie.
Okay, good. Drew, looking good. You've got your the black mock turtle.
Thank you.
You were over in England.
Yes, I was.
Since
I
we've last
did
seen
some
you.
Touring. Yeah,
how
did
the, how were the English? Did they enjoy your comedy?
You know, I did pretty well there. Some of the stuff is a little difficult because it translates. But I did some investigating into my heritage. You know, my mother's English. And,
right.
It turns out I may be descended from royalty.
No kidding.
Royalty.
I'm looking into the 11th Earl of Swarthmore. And I'm looking into some stuff. So just bear that in mind. The level of respect that I try to... Gain back. So
how far are you in line for the crown? I mean,
just a couple of butler rapes away.
In a few more weeks, he's next.
I see.
No, I'm no, but I'm looking into some stuff that involved, you know, there was some stuff with a scullery maid.
Look up any cousins, any relatives at all? Did you meet anyone?
No.
Oh.
I do have some distant relatives over there, but let me tell you something. I flew from Los Angeles into the Midwest. And let me tell you something about the airports. And this ties into smoking. Well, first of all, I'm very irked about these defibrillators. Have you noticed this? They're putting these in public places.
Yes.
Which is, I don't understand this. I can't take fingernail clippers through security.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get through security, any idiot has access to an electrocution paddle that you can pull off the wall and hit anybody with. Or drag right onto a plane, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
I don't think anybody should have access to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I go in. I'm switching planes in Houston, and I'm flying in the Midwest. And I go, as most smokers would, you have time between. I go into a bathroom stall to have a cigarette. Now, I'm sitting in a bathroom stall. Now, I kid you not.
Minding your own business.
Minding my own business. I'm having a cigarette, and...
Are you alone in there?
Yeah, yes. I'm alone in there, of course. and I'm smoking a cigarette, and a guy in a red blazer comes by and goes, "No mocking, no mocking, policia, call policia, no mocking." And I'm like, "What?" And first of all, I have a standard answer. If somebody yells at me when I'm in a airport, mm-hmm. if you're law enforcement, please slide your badge under the door. If not, get the F out of my face. Because secondhand comments, I assure you, are more dangerous than secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy, policia, first of all, I don't want anybody who can't even command the language to tell me I'm not going to smoke no mucking.
Right.
All right. So now, this is what's wrong with this country. I'm having a cigarette. First of all, I've been relegated to a toilet stall to have my cigarette. There are needle disposal units hanging in the bathroom. You can shoot drugs in the bathroom. You can write gay promiscuous. I come here and suck at 3 p.m. every Tuesday. Shoot needles, and you can apply defibrillation to people at your will out there. But I can't have a cigarette in the bathroom. There's something wrong, very wrong, and I'm not going to take it any longer. No mocking. No mocking.
Did you put your cigarette out, or did you let it away?
No, I don't put it out. Oh, that irritates me.
Was he waiting for you when you came out of the
stall?
Well,
but first of all... Oh, he knew. No, he knew by my tone.
Oh.
No,
there was a tone.
Well, the other thing is,
aren't there designated smoking areas at the
airport? No, a lot of airports that are not now. And I'll tell you the other thing. Why would you want to say? I don't know about you, but to me, I would much rather smell the smell of smoke than whatever's emanating from the man's anus in the stall next to me. You know?
Well, but on the other hand, mm-hmm. doesn't your enjoyment of the smoking, isn't it ruined by the presence of the, you know, the ass matter in the air, the particulates of turddom?
The secondhand methane.
Yeah, but you're not really the second thing to enjoy. Yeah, it's not like I'm in a smoking jacket with a glass of brandy. I'm crouched in a stall, literally trying to alleviate withdrawal symptoms.
Doesn't that tell you
Houston,
what a terrible thing it is you're doing? You need it so badly you're going to go into crapper and hover.
But see, that's where the people, like you were talking about the pro-choice people, that's where the anti-smoking people, they don't understand. They're like, well, it's a bad habit and you've got to stop. You know what? I'd take a heroin habit any day over smoking. You know how many times I've tried to quit.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's really tough.
Weren't you in a bathroom one day when you had some time on your hands and you saw one of those solicitations scrawled on the stall? And you decided.
Mike, have you ever seen this? Have you ever been in a bathroom stall where you've seen.
Careful how you word this, Chief.
Gay writing, like, and they write very tiny, like on the tile between the grout, and they say, like, I'm here Wednesdays at noon.
Yes. At the rest stops. That's where you see them a lot.
So I thought, I'm going to come back and meet the guy. I just want to see if he's a man of his word. So I come back, and I'm standing in the bathroom, and it's right around 3 o'clock.
When he said he would be there.
And there are men filing in and out. And
there's easier ways to meet Rick Taylor.
Are you the sea sucker that I was going to be here at 3? Because I was... Finally, the guy comes in, and it was obvious. You can see it in their eyes a lot of times.
Right.
And he said, yes, indeed he was. And I said, I just want to shake your hand for being a man of your word. And in this day and age, I would have to say so.
This is certainly an honor to
yes. And he was wearing a shirt not dissimilar to yours.
That is a nice shirt, Chick.
The rest thermal.
Thank you very much.
That's where I grew up, you know, Dayton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that?
Oh, yeah. That's where I started my psychedelic empire when
Kettering?
I was dealing psychedelic drugs. Yes, Kettering.
Kettering?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is that where you fur trapped?
That is where I trapped.
Uh-huh.
That most certainly is where I trapped.
I'm going to get back to this bathroom thing.
Okay.
So when the guy walks in.
Yeah.
You shake his hand.
I
shake his hand.
Did he say anything?
Well, he'd wanted
no mulking.
No mulking.
No mulking.
Me pitcher, not catcher.
No, but I. Bob, don't you? Are you telling me you don't ever smoke in a bathroom stall in an airport?
No, I don't. I usually go outside.
Well, but see, the problem where they get you now is you have to go back out through security.
Security and everything.
Have a cigarette and then come back in. To me, it's just easier to go into
but
the
I
bathroom
don't,
stall.
I don't care anything that's. I get in and out of security very quickly because I don't. I stopped carrying guns.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I just don't see how you can enjoy.
Well, I don't really.
You really enjoy a smoke in a room because those toilets smell so bad. And isn't part of the enjoyment of smoking the French inhale?
Yeah.
Can't you just put on a patch or something when you travel?
No, because the problem is I try to sleep on the flights because I usually have to get up at like 4:30 in the morning to get a cab all the way to LAX to fly. So I'm tired. So I want to sleep. Generally on the flight, and with a patch, you're buzzed, and your dreams are in technicolor, and you can't really sleep. So. But I, this is no lie. After I went through this whole episode with this no mocking militia type, I went down to my gate later, and there was a bathroom there, and I went in the bathroom again to have another cigarette. This is about 45 minutes later, and the same guy walks in, and I think he recognized my shoes because he didn't say a damn thing to me this time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I was just waiting for him, too. I was just waiting for him. Ooh.
Now, can you smoke in the airport jail?
Yeah. Yeah. I've often wondered if they would pull you from a flight, if the police would actually. Because I've told them before. I've had guys do this, walk by a bathroom stall. You know, like, you simp. Either tell them, put what's on your mind, or shut up. I've said that, too. Go get a cop. Get a cop.
Go get a set of balls.
Come on. Yeah.
Now, I have a question. Yeah. I have a question. When you smoke in the bathroom stall at the airport, do you sit?
Or of course I sit.
Do you sit with your pants on?
No, I take my pants down.
He's 8 feet tall. They just see him stand his head above the thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well,
See, I have a problem with public restrooms anyway. So you're sitting on a...
I'm sitting on the stall, yes.
With your pants down.
With my pants down, because
are you taking the occasion to go to the toilet as well?
Sometimes.
Are you multitasking, if you will?
Yes. Yeah, sometimes I am. And, of course, the
nothing goes better with a smoke.
And the little triangular bit of toilet bowl that's visible between your legs is the ashtray.
Uh-huh. Well, that could be dangerous.
Yes, it can be.
You could have a penile fire.
That's right.
You could ash on your wang.
Maybe you could ask no moking to help you put it out.
Well, I lop mine over my leg, and I get it out of the
way. Is that right?
Wow.
Baby Sequoia.
Wow. Drew Hastings is our guest, also with us in the studio. Very fine comedian Mike McCray is here with us. Mike, what's new in your life? Anything interesting?
Not much. Just been on the road a lot, trying to eat right. That's hard good thing on the road.
Well, Christy's become our eating expert here.
All right, now, what do you think about the Atkins diet? Because a lot of my friends are
she's
going on
it.
This.
No, I'm not on the Atkins diet. Right.
Okay,
I eat
good.
Low carb. I do not eat.
Right, Atkins, so those people are nuts. Yeah.
No,
really.
No bread, no rice, no pasta.
Oh, yeah, and they love talking about it. They're like a cult. They get all, like, frothy at the mouth. They're like, yeah, the Atkins diet, man, it's great. Don't eat no carbs, no fruits or vegetables. All you do is eat beef and bacon and pork chops and egg yolks and cheese, and you drink tumblers of grease, and you lose weight, man. I'm like, well, yeah, because you're dying. Your body's shutting down. That's the dumbest. I don't understand it at all.
You are on the Atkins diet. I don't want to be I'm not a doctor, but do eat salad and fruit. You can't not. It will make you sick after
I just read last week that the price of beef in this country has
skyrocketed
strictly because of that diet.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
It's amazing.
I thought it was because of that and because they couldn't import Canadian beef. I think that's part of it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's also the supply and demand. There's a lot more beef sales.
They can't import
this.
I think it's because they can't bring in Canadian beef because
we're not ready.
And bakeries are suffering.
Aren't we about
bakeries
ready to really invade suffering. Canada? Isn't that about that?
Yeah, I think we actually do that in July.
Why not?
We came for your prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The bunch of old people. We want the prescriptions. Wow. So now, are you a married guy, Mike?
Oh no, very single.
Okay.
Very
you ever
single.
Been?
Ever been married? Oh no.
Are you a former radio guy?
Me, myself, no.
You've got such
voice,
a
man.
Deep radio voice.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
That's a nice precancerous timber you have.
Yeah. I'm working on it. No, I used to work in an office during the day. Yeah, that's what I did. I was in an office. It was a weird life, working there in the office. There's a small company where I work, too, where all these little secret couples running around. And you're not really supposed to date people at the office, but you knew what was going on where I work because in the men's room, the graffiti said stuff like, for a good time, call extension 289. Hey, it's a human resources number. Those girls are sluts.
So, Drew, what's
on this Best of the Bob and Tom Show, coming up, musician and comedian Sean Morey. All that and more next on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
On the way next, more of the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. Bob and Tom! From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Get your laugh on anywhere, anytime. Download the new Bob and Tom Show app now. Go to your app store or see the link at bobandtom.com.
This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. This is Christopher in the Napa Auto Parts Studio for a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good morning so far. Let's do a segment here with comedian and musician Sean Morey, the man song. I think it's going to be a great day. Sean Morey in the studio with the Bob and Tom Show.
Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. Thanks very much for joining us. Comedian Sean Morey is our guest in the studio. We're talking about Sean's guest appearances on the early Tonight Show with the early days with Johnny Carson.
And Jay. I did Jay three times, too.
The show.
Yes, the show.
No, Jay.
How do you think he got on the show?
Handle your career, Sean will handle it.
All right. God, he's done all right so far.
Darn right.
Now, Sean, I don't want to get I know you want to play some music, but before we get to that, if I might pry just a little bit. You are a single man once again, and
yes.
May I inquire about your love life? Is that too personal?
Going okay. I have fear of commitment now.
Really?
Because of my two divorces. Uh-huh. I was going out with this one girl. I kept breaking up with her every 5 minutes over little things. That does it! How can you say Dick York is a better Darren than Dick Sargent?
Out!
And take your Dick York loving crap with you.
I love alcohol.
And I call her and grovel. I'm sorry. Please come back. Where are you? I'm on the 405. You take the 405? That freeway sucks. Keep going. Get your 405 loving ass out of my life.
Maybe you should play the banjo for your girlfriend. That'll help.
God, I'm lonely. I wonder what she's doing right now.
Get your fill in the blank loving ass out of here. You're darn right.
I was dating a shrink for a while.
Yeah?
So I'm cured of all my problems now.
Are you really?
For free.
How nice.
She's always saying shrinky stuff. Uh-huh. Like, I'm entertained by your masculine domination compulsion.
Oh.
If you want to drive, just say so. It's weird being single again because the single world is different. The women shave now. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm all in favor.
I like the 70s when everyone had a big afro down there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Big headband around it.
I'm with you.
Now that's like unusual.
Yeah.
Like, I understand how women feel about beards now. What's she hiding?
Yeah, Tom, get your shaved loving ass out of here.
I'd like to go on a safari down there. Hey, there's a muskrat living down here.
You know, I don't like hair in my hamburgers either.
See.
Man, that's...
Mm-hmm.
Friends on.
You know, when
look
the
at Michael, he's embarrassed.
When the guitar players start.
Even the band is
shocked. You know it's bad.
Sorry.
Friends always try to fix you up with people.
Really?
When you're single, yeah. Mm-hmm. One friend of mine says, I got two women in what you mean. One's a widow and one's a divorcee. Yeah. Divorcee.
Why do you say that?
We know what widows look like. We've all seen old Westerns. That's the Widow Johnson down the street. Some say she's a witch. I seen her talking to a raven.
And by the way, and good luck living up to a dead guy, by the way.
Well, that brings me to another topic.
You'll never be as good as Jimmy. Oh, God.
Well, let me. I actually did date a widow for a while.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh. Her husband committed suicide.
Oh.
Is that a red flag?
Wow.
Is that a red flag? I don't
Had he just seen one of your shows? Or?
No.
Put down the banjo.
I'm not saying she drove him to commit suicide, but after a while you start thinking every little thing. I wonder if that's what did it. If she smacks her gum one more time. I could get a divorce, but that would take months. If I had a shotgun, I could be out of here today. She had a sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
One time I put ketchup all over my wrist and lay on the floor. She came in, April Fools! Oh, we laughed.
Oh, thanks. Maybe we should just take a break now.
There's a spider named after the widow.
There is.
Yeah, Black Widow.
Yes, there is.
The Black Widow, because they kill their mate. Uh-huh. You think you should qualify as a widow if you kill your own husband? Oh, yes, I was widowed last year. Oh, that's too bad. When I stabbed my husband 37 times. But I get by.
We have a couple guests in the studio. On guitar this morning, Michael Clark from the Bob and Tom Band. Want to give us a little strum over there, Michael?
Oh, you want to give us the Beverly Hills incidental music?
Beverly Hillbillies.
Beverly Hillbillies. Beverly Hills? Did I say Beverly Hills?
Yes, you did. Beverly Hills.
Hello, I'm Beverly Hills.
That's Beverly Sills.
As Ellie Mae comes down the stairs. With her critter.
With her muff.
With her critter.
Her muff and her critter.
She doesn't have need for a muff in L.A. in Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised how many muffs.
Based how many people get parts because of that.
Really?
Sharon Stone built her career on it.
Knowing how to handle a muff.
How to light it right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now here's Beverly Hillbillies incidental music. Over to Mr. Drysdale. There we are.
That's true.
They don't make like that anymore.
No, they don't.
Sure don't.
Has Ellie Mae, has Donna Douglas given up the braid yet? Or
no.
Working on that?
No, she's got the bow in her hair and everything.
Ooh. It's still the same.
Yeah, that looks right when you're 14.
Well, Rosemarie still has the bow in her hair.
Oh, yeah. No.
But actually, it's at the back of her head now because of all the facelifts.
It's on her butt.
A nice goatee, Rosemary. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, dear. And that's gone great, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Sean Morey is our guest in the studio. Sean, twice married, now single, has revisited the dating.
Thanks for bringing that up.
The dating
over
scene.
Over.
I'm sorry. We don't have to talk about that unless you want.
That's okay. I dated this one girl who likes to be spanked.
Oh, really?
That's too weird. I just gave her a timeout. Took away her TV privileges. She actually said, I want you to spank me when we're making love. Wait, is this still making love when you're hitting someone? I want you to knock me around a little, pour hot wax on my nipples while we make sweet love. Should I wear my Gestapo outfit?
That's a little kinky.
Some women like to be called bad names during sex. Take it, Harriet.
Oh.
You know you wanted Hortense.
That is a bad name, isn't it?
Is that what they have in mind? Or?
I hope so. I don't. Doesn't work.
I think you're hearing that wrong.
Some women like to be called mommy. Now, that's sick.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when it really is your mother.
Yikes!
My mom is weird.
I'm sorry. Man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Johnny's dead and you have to leave.
You get a timeout. Wow.
Wild stuff.
Some women like their hair pulled during sex. That turns them on.
Uh-huh.
Noogies, they don't like so much.
No.
Who's
don't.
Your daddy?
And by the way, that twister thing from grade school, definitely out.
No, they don't care for that.
You know, there's a lot of bad kissers out there.
Are there?
I've been doing the scientific research, so you people don't have to.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm the Kinsey of my time.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great job, didn't he?
Yeah, sure. He did.
Just do anything that moves and call it research. Your wife walks in, oh, hi, honey, I'm just researching this woman's reproductive system. Anyway, you want to hear some bad kissing styles?
Yeah. Certainly.
I actually wanted to hear more about the research. I was getting kind of turned on.
I was starting to smoke.
Want some noogies? Who's you did?
I'm researching the reproductive system of the incoming freshman class. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number one bad kissing style, the pickle. That's when they just stick their fat tongue in your mouth and leave it there. Hello, this is my tongue. You want to suck on it? I'll be back later.
Oh.
Number two, the flosser. They seem to be looking for something. A piece of pork, maybe. Hey, it's Ramadan. Get out of there.
Sick.
Uh-huh. Number three, the wide mouth bass. That's when they open their mouth so wide you want to try and toss some bean bags in there and win a prize.
Yep.
Hey, you're not at the dentist. I can hear an echo. And finally, number four, the chastity kiss. That's when the lips are pursed together so tight there's nary a drop of moisture exchange. If you're lucky, you get the little noise. Oh, yeah, that's doing it for me.
Yeah.
I guess we'll be having sex now. It's like kissing your grandmother, except afterwards you don't get a dollar.
Holy moly.
Why don't we just rub noses, for Christ's sake? Hey, how was your day? Did you kiss her goodnight? I don't know. We touched lips, but I'm not sure you'd call it a kiss. That's when the hair pulling comes in handy. That'll open her mouth. Ah! Then you give him the pickle.
Sean Morey, that's a brilliant observational piece about kissing. Those are all dead on. We're going to take a break. Be right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Oh, but we're not done yet. Coming up next hour, he loves the 80s, comedian Bill Burr. Also, sex and memory, movies, the winner of Last Comic Standing, Alonzo Bowden, and Doug Stanhope, former host of The Man Show. It's all next hour on the best of The Bob and Tom Show.
Stay tuned. There's more. It's the best of The Bob and Tom Show. From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Just like the show, the new Bob and Tom app is simple, easy, and free. I mean, really, consider the source. Download the new Bob and Tom Show app now. Go to your app store or see the link at bobandtom.com.
We're back on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show from the Napa Auto Parts Studio. This is Christopher speaking. Hope you're having a good Wednesday morning. Let's do a segment here with the winner of the last comic standing, Alonzo Bowden, and former host of The Man Show, Doug Stanhope, on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. We have a bunch of great guests this morning. A couple of them hanging with us right now include Doug Stanhope, former host of The Man Show, a man associated with such quality programs as Girls Gone Wild, a man who's had his picture taken by armed officers of the law. He is, am I correct in saying that?
Maybe secretly. I'm sure I'm on some file somewhere for stuff I've written on my website.
Oh, yeah.
Alonzo Bowden, the winner of Last Comic Standing, one of the best stand-up comedians in America. But they're both hanging here with us. Now, Doug, before the break, I asked, any particular romance with alcohol these days? Or
Yeah, no, I still drink, but again, it's strictly medicinal because it's easy to get. I don't do as many drugs as I used to just because physically, I mean, do you ever get to a point where you're like, I'm in too bad a shape to get really screwed up? I mean, I wish they could combine, like, if there was a Xanax acid combination where it wasn't that, where it just made you mellow, but you still get all the good visuals and the head trip from it, but it wasn't such a bad body high where if the trip turned bad, you just wake up and, oh, it's just a drug, go back to bed.
You've thought about this a little too much, I think.
Yeah. I do feel better when I do more drugs and drink less. I'm sorry. I'm just one of those guys. I've done drugs for 20 years and never really had a bad day that was, socially. I do drugs 10 or 12 times a year. If you only drank 10 or 12 times a year, your friends wouldn't invite you out drinking because you're kind of a buzzkill, right?
You're a bummer.
Was it an $18 million ecstasy bust?
Something like that.
Yeah. And you read those stories and you go, is that all we're about as a society now, is money? What, like, to you, the casual guy on the street, what is $18 million worth? Why don't you headline those stories by how much fun you've taken away from us? 18.1 million hours of sheer joy have been seized at customs and incinerated in front of the weeping eye of the working man, so he might not miss another day of production.
The worker.
You want to win the war on drugs, you have to attack the source of the drug problem. Mm-hmm. And the source of the drug problem is whoever made life this absolutely dull and predictable anymore. That you want to eat poison to get away from it. You want to arrest someone. Arrest TGI, I can't say a brand name, Ashton Kutcher, Vin Diesel, PT Cruisers as sports cars. Whoever made the 5-day work week where 5 of your days have to suck to get two good ones back. 5 suck for, I don't know if you gamble, but those are bad odds right there. Even a terrible Indian casino that's hell-bent on revenge against the white man still gives you like 83% return on your slot machines. You're getting 2 out of 7 building things you can't afford for people you hate.
Doug Stanhope is our guest, the good time comedy. Now, Alonzo Bowden is here. Alonzo, did you work in a factory at one point?
I did. I worked at Lockheed. I built the first stealth fighters, the ones we used in the first Gulf War, you know, back in
You should do a show like Bill Engvall, where you pimp my Iraqi Air Force.
I could do that.
Have you ever flown, after building them, did you ever get the flying one?
No, because it's a single passenger. They wouldn't let me borrow one.
No, yeah. I guess
And
not.
Don't think I didn't ask. Uh-huh. What does this baby do? And they said, you'll never know. Uh-huh. Just keep turning the wrench. But it was fun. I did get to do one of those dogfighter things where you go up in the plane, and like they have a pilot behind you, and he flies the plane till they get you out over the water, and then he literally turns it over to you, and you do a mock dogfight with another plane.
Really?
And the amazing thing about it was, it was a lot of fun, but I was just thinking, they did this with real bullets.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, mind-boggling when you're chasing another plane and he's chasing you, and they give you this whole, like, hour orientation and blah, blah, blah. And I happened to go up. My guy was a Vietnam fighter pilot. And as we're going to the plane, he said, forget all that. Just keep your eye on the other plane. Keep shooting. You know, because they tell you, like, orientation and how you can get lost, and you don't want to get airsick. Mm-hmm. Don't they? He's like, you just keep your eye on the other plane. He said, the moment you lose sight of the other plane, you're dead.
Oh.
But it was like, so you did this for real. You know, I'm just playing here, and I'm just hoping he doesn't have a flashback and have a real gun. Because you never know. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know. They experimented with a few chemicals back in Vietnam. Yeah. But that was a lot of fun. But
well,
that was close.
They
I
give
came.
Fighter pilots and bomber pilots. They give them methamphetamine on long missions to keep them awake.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think they have some new stuff. I think they've got some secrets.
Well, yeah, they definitely
it's some
have
speed
secret.
Related.
Yeah, they don't have
and
to
speed
buy it
is
from
a terrible drug.
Anymore,
yeah, they don't have it distilled from Sudafed like the stuff you make at home.
How is that? Yeah. That cottage industry.
Pool cleaning supplies with some truck stop speed mixed in.
That's right.
Doug Stanhope, OxyContin tour.
Doug was in the same boat as Barry Bonds, where Doug didn't know it was a drug. He thought it was a magic cream that he was rubbing on.
It made me funny at 8:30.
Night. let's see. Now, Alonzo, you were telling me off the air that you were. I didn't quite catch it. You were involved in some divorcee show.
Oh, this is a great thing. It's coming on A Current Affair. It's called the Ex Wives Club, and it's kind of a test for a reality show. They have five of the hottest divorcees living together in this house, and they came to a show that I did, and they invited me over for dinner. So I got to have dinner with these five just unbelievably hot divorced women. It's going to be on the show A Current Affair. And they had a custom G-string designer there who designed – she had a $16,000 diamond G-string. Just so you know what level of ex-wife we're playing with here, you know.
Wow. Yeah,
a $16,000 diamond G-string. And they also had these candy G-strings. And she said, do you want to – try one? And I said, well, I'm not going to just try it, you know, someone has to put it on. And they had one of the girls, Angela, this beautiful Puerto Rican model actress, just goes in the back, puts it on, comes back and says, have a taste. And I said, you know, television is all right, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life, but this TV gig, I'm gonna run with this one. So yeah,
diabetes be damned, I'm going in,
I'm going for it, I don't care. Wow. The Ex-Wives Club, it was really fun to just hang out and, you know, just to be around women like that. And it was one of those situations like you were talking about, Doug. These are not, like, when you think ex-wife, this is not the visual that comes to mind. You start thinking, like, who divorced you? Like, what? Wow, what did he get to follow you up? If he replaced you, how well is he doing right now?
I know what he got, Alonzo. Mm-hmm. He got quiet.
yep.
Right, Chick?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Peace can't sell quiet at the store.
Yeah. Nope. Money can't buy that.
Nope.
Here, take all my stuff because I... Oh, wait. What does that sound?
And just, you don't have to get married to get that. I had a girl who's a talker. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Chrissy, what is with women in stories? Why can't y'all just tell the story? Why do I have to get the backstory and then an introduction to every character in the story?
Because it helps you
and then
appreciate
how the story relate.
More.
No, I'm lost by then. I'm so done with it. Well, let me tell you how work was today. First of all, in 1982, when I applied for the job.
That's, or when they reference other stories that you weren't really listening to.
Yeah.
Betty's the one I told you about before, the one that had the you know, the adopted kid, and you're like, oh yeah,
oh yeah.
You don't even remember, do you? Oh yeah.
And the story somehow always leads to something you did wrong.
Uh-huh.
That's ultimately the point of every story. Is now we'll get to the part where you were wrong.
Isn't that the title of your autobiography, Christy?
You were wrong.
You did it wrong.
No.
You did it the wrong way.
Do you wonder why they only give Christy 5 seconds for the weather?
Well, Christy told a weather story once.
Not talking anymore.
This is why men love golf. If you watch golf, what is the first thing they tell you?
Shh. Yep.
We get to be quiet and swing clubs. How male is that? Uh-huh. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, also, I love golf, though.
Now they make you turn your cell phone off on the course. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at a band concert last night. The band director comes out and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, please turn off your cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Gets kind of, everyone does. Then he turns around to the band, which of course are all students, And he goes, class, students, please turn off your cell phones.
Wow, yeah.
See, I don't say that at my shows because I figure anytime you're lucky enough to get a signal, jump on it. That's all right. If you got a signal, I'm not getting in the way. You make that call. Enjoy yourself.
I have a real quick parenting dilemma. My daughter woke me up at 2:30 this morning.
Boy. What?
She lost a tooth overnight.
Uh-huh.
But we think she swallowed it. Is that a problem?
Well, the tooth fairy still has to come across.
You got to throw the quarter in the toilet.
It's the,
though.
It's the call you get tonight that's going to be the problem.
Yeah, Bob. No, I'll.
No.
No, this is, you know, this
it's
is.
It's not going to hurt her to swallow a tooth.
There's no habeas corpus for.
I don't know. How old is she?
You don't have to have the body.
Oh, all right.
Do you have a colander?
No.
A colander?
We don't have to get the tooth out for the tooth fairy to come, do we?
I think you have to prove it.
Wow, you are hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Man. You're going to have a great weekend.
You go into a bag and say you want $50, you got to give them a check.
That's
oh,
right.
Boy.
Now, let me ask you this, Miss Lee. What does the tooth fairy pay at your house?
A dollar.
A dollar?
A dollar.
God. A dollar.
Hey, I think that's a lot.
All the gigs you've been doing, the tooth fairy can only cough off a buck.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm not teaching her to want more and more and more.
No, she'll learn that.
Then when do they learn? When do they learn it? If mom's not, because at some point, believe me, by the time they get to me, more is a very popular word.
We'll talk sex and memory coming up, movies, and a man who loves the 80s, comedian Bill Burr, all coming up here on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
We're back on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show on this Wednesday. This is Christopher in the Napa Auto Parts Studio. Let's check in with Tom and Chick and Christy and Josh as they talk sex and memory and movies.
We are nationwide. And we are worldwide on American Forces Radio. Thank you very much. We appreciate your being here. Christy, are you there? Oh, wait a minute. You were...
What?
You're emerging from a volcano. Oh, no, that's your scarf. Okay.
Well, yeah, I know. It's a big scarf. When I had to wrap it around about 10 times, I'm about to strangle myself.
Yesterday, we had a special celebration, and we were passing around a pilgrim's hat, and it was sort of a one-size hat.
Yeah.
Everyone would put it on, and then when it got to Christy, she put it on, and it covered her entire face.
I really did slide down. No,
the woman has a small head.
Am I the first one who says that your head is
very
abnormally small.
Yes,
but it's the same.
It's like a six
it's
and a
proportionally
third
correct for her body.
It is.
Whereas your head is somewhat swollen, even with respect to your body.
The scarf now, might be weird, but the highlight is the leggings.
Do you know what a curb
yeah,
scarf
these
is?
These are awesome.
Velvet?
Are those?
Yeah.
No, you're supposed to say it must be felt, and then you don't feel down by the ankle.
Yeah,
you go up
that'll
north.
That'll impress her.
Go you have it. Your proclivities, I have mine.
That'll hey, impress her. You,
using big words like proclivities, I think that's a sign of disrespect.
He's so witty. The first time he met me, he said, is that velour or felt? It must be felt.
And then he grabbed
he's
me.
So funny.
And he grabbed me by the groin.
He used to work at the Catskills. He's hilarious.
There's a lot of very interesting stuff in the news, including kind of a complicated news story, but the essence of it is, if I'm getting it right, something about having sex and how that improves your memory.
Hmm.
A scientific research study. So, boy, there's a good
one
for you.
I've not ever noticed that.
You know,
my memory's
faulty all the time.
The
next time she goes, gosh, I can't remember where I put all of that money. Well, maybe if we go have sex, it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
So, is this a real story? Are you trying
absolutely.
To help people out?
This is a real story.
And when I say people, I mean guys.
No, it's a real story. It's let me see if I can find it here.
Give that journalist the Pulitzer today.
it's kind of scientific. It was done at one of the great universities in the world, McGill University in Montreal. So there you
never
go.
Never heard of it.
Nope.
Really? You use the word proclivities? You've never heard of McGill?
Nope.
Well, during the break, I'll show
Harvard.
You what a book is.
Heard of Harvard. Heard of Harvard.
Heard of Princeton.
It's Yale. Heard of those. McGill.
It's the Harvard of Canada.
McGill? That sounds like a comedy thing.
Great.
Tonight at McGill's. Ladies and gentlemen, come on in. It's McGill. Josh Arnold, our feature.
Feature tonight? No, he's a headliner now. He's
I don't think so. And then.
So you only. So you only recognize universities that have the names of cities you've heard of in them?
No, that's not true.
Sorry. Never mind. We'll just move on. I why bother sometimes?
Look, this is my fault.
I decided yesterday what to get Tom for Christmas, and it's not really going to be that great of a gift. So in lieu of a present, from now until Christmas, I'm going to enable his megalomania and feed it whenever possible.
See, I'm trying to help you.
I'm going to appear stupider than I already am, suggests that
and it actually uses a, what's this word that it uses? It's very, very disturbing.
McGill, they invented the little umbrellas that you put in drinks.
That's right. That's right.
Love those.
The McGill.
Yeah, their mascot's the gorilla, the McGill gorilla. No.
That is true.
McGilla.
McGill gorilla for sale. How much is that gorilla for sale?
Have you ever heard of PVI?
Nope. Not either. Nope.
Well, here's the first line of the article.
I heard of PBR.
Naturally, that's the champagne of beers at your place.
There's nothing wrong with PBR.
No, there's not.
Up.
I am a fan.
It says women who often have sex have better memories, according to a study by the team at McGill University.
No wonder I can never find
it. Here's the. This is a little bit adult here. Mentions the front naughty of both men and women. I'll change the sentence around.
The pee pee and wee wee. You mean?
What the hell is happening here?
Where lemonade is made?
No. Well, I suppose technically, if you're doing it that way, there's good news and bad news.
You don't want to go. We're not talking about where the fudge factory. We're talking about lemonade here.
If I said around the corner where fudge is made. Can you imagine?
I'm not even
wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to get a really
this
high quality, high quality physician
yep.
to when he says, "Well, Josh, I got to tell you, you got a problem around the corner where the fudge is made."
Oh no, what?
That's true.
But the lemonade is okay.
Lemonade and milk is okay.
Oh, they're fine. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, good,
yeah.
Good.
But where the fudge is made, we're going to have to go in.
Yeah, we're going to have to take.
Yeah.
That out.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You're going to have a bag to put your fudge in.
Oh no! All right.
Did you have to ruin it? We're having a little fun. Next thing you know, we've got...
We're not having fun.
A fudgeostomy bag?
Oh. And let me tell you this. When I got
How about not just the bag? How about just going in for a look-see?
That's right. But you don't want a fudgeectomy. Then you can't go at all.
You ever heard of Sigmund Freud? This is the sigmoidoscope. He developed this just for fun.
When I got my shoulder looked at yesterday, the pain went up by about 10. Because he was, you know...
Manipulating,
he was
right?
Messing. Yes. Yeah. Like him, it was...
And then
it was him, but with my he manipulates my brain, the doctor in the shoulder, same thing.
No, then what did he do? Did he do anything in, you know, where the fudge is made?
I was hoping he'd touch where I make lemonade, but he didn't.
He didn't.
Oh,
it
was very disappointing.
Repeatedly.
Yes. And now
and
I
gently.
Have to find another
Could
doctor.
We get
Thank
back
you.
To the scientific article?
Yes, McGill please. University.
It's one of the great universities in the world, you incredible illiterate.
Here,
now, let's move on
I'll
here.
Try to get to,
Could we get
me,
to the study?
Oh, the website here. A lot of online courses.
Let's see. McGill, our 10 faculties.
Look, don't. You're ruining the whole
our
point of the
story. Our
10
faculties and 12 professional schools offer more than 300 programs to some 40,000 graduate, undergraduate.
Could we get back to Christie's story about the new elements in chemistry? Because that would be less boring. Here's the point of the story.
Our school of where fudge is made is unparalleled.
Research into how front naughty parts intercourse affect a woman's brain found that intercourse can help women to remember abstract words.
Hmm. Abstract words? What? Like?
Yeah, you know how broads are. They forget abstract words.
What the
hell's wrong
if
with
If it's
you?
An abstract word, why do I need to remember it?
No, I've heard some abstract words during sex, like...
Get out. take off this ball gag.
Yeah.
Oh. I guess,
set me free.
Have you ever gotten the tap?
The tap?
You know what?
Tapping out?
I kind of have gotten the tap, yeah.
So what abstract? Do they say what word?
It's over.
It was more of a tap of like, it's not going to happen for me. Go ahead.
Let me actually read the article.
Yeah, I was.
I've done that. Yeah.
To make their findings, that the team asked a cohort of 78 heterosexual women.
Oh, thank goodness.
Under the age of 30, and let's just assume for the sake of argument, over the age of 18.
A safe assumption. All right. Yeah.
I'm just trying to help.
You know, now I see what you mean about me ruining everything.
To take part on a memory test involving people's faces. And another with abstract words. They also compiled a questionnaire to record their grade point average, whether they used birth control.
Josh, I always forget the Hunchback of Notre Dame's name.
Quasimodo.
Yep. Well, but if I see him, because his face rings a bell, so.
You interrupted the flow of this for that?
He's laughing.
No, he's laughing heartily. Because you attempted to do it.
Was that even close to being correct?
No, that's not how the joke goes. The findings of the study suggest that sex is often linked to memory function in the hippocampus, and that, of course, is the part of the school where the zoo is.
The McGill hippos. It's the hippocampus.
This was published in a very serious journal called The Archives of Sexual Behavior.
Fight, you hippos. Gonna fight and never give in.
They're continuing their research trying to pinpoint whether achieving orgasm affects the memory.
Well, then you don't have to have a partner
I don't know if I should share this with you or not, but when I reach orgasm, it sounds like this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, maybe it sounds like anticlimactic.
That's what it sounds like.
I thought when you reached orgasm, it sounds like a phone dropping.
Oh, old school, are you? As you
phone dropping. Yeah.
I like to reach out and actually make contact. Yeah, No, you know what?
The implication being he's like, on the phone. He's paying 97 cents a minute because it's a two for Tuesday special.
Do people still do that?
Do you think they had Black Friday specials in the phone sex world, do you think?
Do they still have phone sex?
Maybe they don't call it that.
It's got to be. Well, Skype, webcams,
I bet there is still
some. Where do you stand?
Where do I stand on it?
On webcams.
A little too...
Now, I've said this for a long time.
Intrusive, right?
Don't take this the wrong way, but if I think Christy would be great as a phone sex operator.
She would.
I mean, you would. You really have the. You've got the voice.
I don't ad lib well. Okay.
Yes, you do. Are you? Are you
but
kidding?
I mean, not in that sexual.
You are. This is a lie. You would be
really.
Everyone knows
how
this.
How you seem to be incredibly sure of that, Tom? How do you know that for so sure?
Because Christy is a great ad libber at all times, and in the realm of sexuality, she knows when not to be funny, when to be serious.
Oh, yeah. Touch it there.
See?
Whoa.
There you go.
Oh.
Did he give you something yesterday to take?
You know, that's between me and my doctor. That's between me and my doctor and HIPAA regulations.
Yeah, I do believe that would violate HIPAA law.
Thank you, John. In lieu of my attorney being here, Mr. Arnold will be representing me.
Yeah, so in any event, this study is very interesting. We're going to get to this later. I'll edit this down for you.
They're not really the hippos.
I think it's a fascinating article, Tom. Has anybody in this room discovered this, though?
Remembering something after
having sex? I have a question. It said at the first part of the article, you said intercourse, and at the back of the article, it said just an orgasm. Well, no,
that's further research
down
the road.
Do they have to be...
Gilla!
They're not the McGill hippos.
Take them home and try them.
Try them, not fry them.
It's a gorilla. Good luck. You can take them home and try them if you'd like.
Try them for what?
Could I finish this? Let me just give you the essence of this study. Once again, they had 78 heterosexual women having what would be called, I guess, traditional intercourse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got a man over here, a woman over here.
Look, stop. You know what you want to say. Normal.
Not normal.
Normal intercourse. What you want to say.
No,
it's okay.
It's not me. This isn't my study. I'm just saying you have to understand that they have a control, and it's part of an experiment.
The
this
control group,
very boring.
Yes.
The point is the results show that women who had sex most frequently were able to recall abstract words better in this study.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of interesting. All other things being equal, the women who were more sexually active had a better memory.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if this works for guys, because I can tell you, my memory does not get better. You know how many times I forgot to take the tape out of the VCR? Oh.
Hey now!
I like the classic component of the VCR. That really adds to it.
Well, that's the truth in the comedy.
And that's the truth.
I've been saying for years.
Josh,
remember the article I sent you?
That before,
I sent you the
you?
Article a couple weeks ago about there are still a handful of video stores in this country for movie buffs. That there are certain movies that aren't available in other forms, but these video stores are hanging on because the people who work on them. Remember the guy back in the day? You'd walk into the video store and there was a guy that knew your taste in movies. You'd go, don't rent this one. Here's a good one. That was
well. No, the staff would make picks. That was great. That's a real thing. Remember
now,
that?
Now it's done by some computer thing. Well, if you like this, you'll like this. But the point here is, I think there are probably men out there, especially that are the VCR is part of their whole mental ritual. It has to be there for their porn viewing. I would imagine. They see the words "be kind, rewind" and have to excuse themselves. now. So this is kind of interesting. We'll touch on this a little bit later, but the essence of it is women who had more sex tended to have better memories.
Let's hope it's after the show.
What?
We're going to touch on it later.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about having sex during the show.
You're either three steps ahead or five steps behind us. I can't tell.
I'm way ahead of you. Okay.
So what's the point of the story then?
People have better memories the more sex they have. Or is it women in particular?
It's women.
Okay.
Women have better memories. Unless they're having sex with Bill Cosby.
There you go. You're going to complain about him?
Just when America is starting to forget that horrible chapter in our lives.
Oh, how's this healing? Whoop, and still bleeding.
Bleeding. Pick at it. There we go. He did it the other day with the Cosby sweater.
Who had a Cosby sweater?
Ugly Christmas sweater. He goes, weren't those called Cosby sweaters?
Oh.
I didn't say
Tom said something. I was laughing hard in the shower today. Oh, all right. I was laughing heartily. I should.
Yeah, better.
And at something Tom said the other day that we let slide, and I can't believe it. We were talking about Christmas movies,
right?
And he said that he had just introduced one of his kids to Home Alone.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he said, yeah, it was a little awkward. Home Alone, it's violent, and there's an odd sexual component to it. And we never questioned what he meant by that.
You know, he's right. What's the odd sexual component to Home Alone?
There's a lot going on there.
Really?
Yeah, I think that.
Like what?
Well, I
hope you're going to talk about Joe Pesci because he'll come in here and beat your ass.
I think the relationship between Joe Pesci
and Daniel Stern?
Daniel Stern is
what?
So when they call themselves the Wet Bandits,
yes.
Oh, boy.
You saw Brokeback, you know, spit in your hand, and here comes Pesci.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
Did you just say spit in your hand?
Yeah. And here comes Pesci.
One more segment to go on this Best of Wednesday. Comedian Bill Burr in the studio. That is coming up next. This is the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
There's more. It's the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. Want to share something? Send us an email, bobandtom@bobandtom.com.
You're in the Napa Auto Parts studio. Actually, I am. Talking to you, hopefully. This is Christopher on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. Our final segment this morning on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show. He loves the 80s. Veteran of HBO and TV, comedian Bill Burr on the Best of the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Chick McGee across the way at the sports desk. Christy Lee at the news desk this morning. Comedian Bill Burr is here with us. Bill is a veteran of HBO, a veteran of television, including...
I Love the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
I Love the 80s Strikes Back. Because the first one was such a hit that they said, okay, we'll re-examine the decade again. So by the time I got back, all the cool stuff from the 80s was gone.
Oh, really?
All the Cosby Show stuff, all that. I got like, do you remember that? What would you do for a Klondike bar? Huh? Can you make that funny? It was brutal. What was up with Punky Brewster? I don't know. I never watched it. Why would you watch that?
Yeah, good point.
What other TV shows have you done? Let's talk about that. You've done Conan, yeah. Chappelle.
Chappelle Show.
You got a great link to a Chappelle skit we mentioned a little bit earlier. If you go to our website, you can link right over there. Also, some pictures of our golf charity outing yesterday. And yes, I did have white stuff all over my nose. Still didn't. I still got it.
Didn't work. I was going to tell you.
Apparently, you missed a spot.
Yeah. Try. You suffer with this.
Why don't you just put a Band-Aid on your nose?
It is. Tough for you guys going out.
I had a hat on. I had SPF, whatever it's called, 50 on.
You had zinc oxide on your nose.
Zinc oxide on my nose, and I still got sunburned.
It doesn't make any sense to me because it's like it's part of nature. Like, why would I have such an adverse reaction to it? And how did my ancestors
live.
Survive, yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't have nature kills off the weak.
They didn't have SPFs back then.
You lived up north.
Yeah, but it's still sunny. What is it, just all cloudy? I mean, it just must be miserable in Ireland in, like, July. Just everybody's in a bad mood. You get drunk, you pass out.
Yep.
That's right. They never go outdoors. They're always in a bar.
The last time I actually tried to get a tan, I was drinking right before my senior prom, and I just, you know, just said to hell with it, and I, you know, took off my shirt. It was the 80s, so I had, like, the Larry Bird short shorts on.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting there.
Yeah.
Just sitting there boozing for, like 3 hours. And then I went to work hammered at this warehouse, and I started feeling my thighs were, like, on fire. I literally had, like, second-degree, like, it was brutal.
Oh, wow.
It was, no, it was unreal. So by the time the prom came.
Oh, I bet you were fun.
You know, it had gone beyond the pain stage. It was the peeling, itchy stage. And I'm wearing, like, you know, the polyester tuxedo. I wasn't going to get, you know, I wasn't going to hook up anyways. I was a loser in high school. So didn't really cut out on any sort of sex. It was just.
But you still went to prom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you had to have had a date.
Yeah, but I was like when, like the end, when like, you know, if you suck in gym class, I guess I'll just take this guy.
Uh-huh.
That's who I was with.
Okay.
I mean, that's who I was, not who I was with. I was actually with somebody decent. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have put it out that way.
I'm sure she's not listening.
No. She was totally cool. I was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Honestly.
I got a couple of quick news stories here. Did you see this one about the, we all love the ice cream man as kids.
Oh, know? Heck yeah. That was music to my ears when I heard that guy.
Benton Township, Michigan. Southwestern Michigan authorities say they arrested an ice cream truck operator who was selling marijuana along with frozen desserts and stuff.
Yeah, that story surfaces every summer. There's somebody,
It's a competitive field, you know what I mean?
Authorities got tips about the alleged pot peddler. A deputy heard jingling bells at 2 in the afternoon last Thursday, saw the ice cream truck entering a mobile home park. Berrien County Sheriff Deputy Lieutenant Keith Hafer said on a written statement, Deputy John Hopkins stopped the truck, spoke with the driver, and detected the odor of marijuana coming from the truck,
mm-hmm.
along with Tutti Frutti and a couple of other flavors,
uh-huh.
he wrote. Authorities searched the van and found several packages of marijuana under the dashboard. So.
Hmm.
Was the jingle on the truck like Grateful Dead music? What was it?
Fish.
Come here, Uncle John's bed.
Wow. So if there was pot smoke, the driver, well, I guess one could guess perhaps he was indulging in some of the
treats.
That goes without saying, I suppose. Mm-hmm. If you're smoking pot on a ice cream truck, you'd think the guy would be eating it and getting a.
Plus, what are you supposed to do? How much money can you legitimately make as an ice cream man? Can you support a family that? You need some sort of side business.
I would imagine.
Yeah, sell a little weed.
I mean, and how many kids are going to run up there and say, I want a sidewalk sundae and a bag of grass. I mean,
a push-up and some blow.
I am pro ice cream men selling weed.
Uh-huh.
But think about it. Rather than just having some...
that's the really kind of an untenable position. Yeah. Here. Even if you're pro-marijuana, I don't think you want it being sold
in an
environment with children.
Well, I don't think the kids are going to have the money for the marijuana.
Well, look at this. What happens when you get the drug dealers? You got these thugs on the street corners, right?
Uh-huh.
You take them, you kill their business, right? And then you just have this happy guy.
You realize
that? Then this thing, he comes down the street, right?
Happy guy, ice cream.
You know what'll happen, Bill?
The parents come out with the kids. The parents buy a little weed. The kids get some ice cream.
You know what's going
to
happen?
Kids, then, huh?
Ice cream wars. Now you're going to have guys wanting their territory.
Yeah, you're
driving by with a little jing, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. No, you just tell them you can work. Dude, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't read. None of my stuff is researched.
That's all right.
I just get an idea. I just kind of go with it.
You don't have to research in this day.
Are you a pot smoker?
No. One time I tried pot brownies, and it was only a couple of years ago. I've just never been into putting smoke into my lungs. It just always seemed stupid. Smoke and water are the two main things you don't want to put in your lungs. So I just never I never got into that. So this person made these pot brownies, and I'm like, I like brownies, right?
Who doesn't?
I have a sweet tooth, so basically.
I have a sweet tooth.
Basically, yeah. This is what went down. She ate half of one. She said, you're bigger. You should eat a whole one. So I ate a whole one. And I'm sitting there 15 minutes in, she's starting to go, I'm starting to get high. And I'm like, I don't feel anything. She goes, well, maybe you should have another one. So I'm like, all right, so I eat another one. And then we were going to leave. And like I said, I got a sweet tooth. There was half a brownie left, so I said, to hell with it, finish him off. I ate the last one. So I ate 2.5 pot brownies, and then we went to the airport to go because we were going to Costa Rica. And halfway there on the ride, she's going, you're high. I'm like, I'm not high. I'm not feeling anything. She goes, I'm telling you, you're high. And I didn't feel anything. I got out of the car, shook the guy's hand, paid him, took my luggage, and then I turned around at the airport and just boom. It hit me. You know, like when your foot falls asleep really bad? That was the feeling. It felt like there was a ball of that right on the crown of my head. And then immediately everything I saw was the funniest thing I had ever seen. And I had never been high, so I didn't know how to handle myself. I didn't know how to talk. Like, if I'm drunk, I know, okay, don't talk to anybody. Just act like you're brooding in the corner, and you'll be fine. But I didn't know how to handle it, so I'm talking like high school cafeteria laughing, like tears rolling down my eyes. And I remember I went up to, you know, where you check yourself in at the airport. Mm-hmm. You know, you either stick your credit card in or you slide the passport.
Sure.
I was trying to stick my passport into the credit card thing, and I'm just sitting there, and finally this lady from Continental just kind of walked up, looked at me, and just slid the thing where it was supposed to go, and I just went, oh, yeah, hey, thanks a lot. And then I just turned the other way and laughed for like 3 minutes. Like, my girl said it looked like somebody I knew had died, and I was going to a funeral. That's like how hard I was laughing, so... Then all of a sudden,
because of the tears coming out of
crying.
Oh, okay.
This paranoia started coming. Dude, it was brutal. I felt like the whole airport was watching me, and
they were.
The last thing I remember, there was this guy. He had this feathered hair, and he was eating this soft serve ice cream, and he had this big nose. And he walked by. My brain just said, "His name is Larry." And for some reason, that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. So I start dying laughing. And I'm blocking my face. There's literally 100 people on my left-hand side, but I'm blocking the right hand so Larry can't see me. It was I'll never do it again.
That's kind of like,
it was like, you know, when a kid, like, first time he smokes and a father catches him and he goes, oh, you want to smoke? And makes him smoke the whole pack. That's what I did with weed. And I just never
again.
Oh, we were in this place getting something to eat. I think it was a Johnny Rockets. My girl's trying to talk me down, and I was just sitting there, and there was this kid, little kid, talking. And the kid was all the way across the restaurant, just going, like a 2-3-year-old kid. And I swear to God, I felt like I was this close to like understanding what he was saying. It's like I almost understood it. And she was just like, she just saw this look of concentration on my face. She's like, what's the matter? I'm like, that kid's voice. It's freaking me out. I'm talking like Shaggy. It was brutal. And then I finally got on the plane, and I was talking myself down, and we went towards the front of the plane. And you know when the line stops, and all of a sudden there was like another little kid. Mm-hmm. You know when parents dress their kids up in like suits and stuff? Mm-hmm. I look over, there's this kid. He's dressed like Jay Leno. Like he's going to do a monologue, and he's just looking at me going like, it's just like, you got to get the kid out of here. All right, I'm gonna do something. So it was awful, but yet
a little kid's dressed like Jay Leno,
and yet you're in favor of having marijuana on the ice cream truck.
Well, it's all about
quantity.
There you go. It's all about quantity. No, but I literally would never do it again because I'll tell you, like,
if nothing else, you got a great story out of it.
Well, you know, what people say, you know, I was baked, I was fried. That's what I literally felt like I did to my brain. No joke. I was just like, I burned something up there. I'm never going to do that again.
But, Bill Burr is our guest.
The beginning. That was another thing, too. She said it's going to wear off after an hour and a half because she had only smoked. And I was 6 hours into it, and I was like Chuck Yeager. I was like, you know, going up through the atmosphere. Then I was like getting all paranoid, like going, what did you put in this? Like, I thought she had laced it with something, like one of those awful high school films, Don't Do Drugs. Uh-huh. It was brutal.
Bill Burr is our guest.
Oh, my.
Apparently an advocate of adding marijuana to the ice cream man's repertoire. I don't like that idea at all.
Well,
the only upside of that would be,
yeah,
if the driver was stoned, at least he'd be driving through the neighborhood slow.
Uh huh.
True. You'd be able to catch them.
You'd be able to, because when you're a kid, you'd always miss them. You'd finally hear the bell run out there. Nay!
Yeah.
And you have to wait 45 minutes for him to get there. Yeah.
He'd just be sitting there parked listening to reggae. Hey, man. Hey, you want a push-up, kid? We're going to take a break. Come right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
This is the best of the Bob and Tom Show. From the Napa studios and worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network, this is the Bob and Tom Show. You can find us on Twitter at Bob and Tom, or you can email us at Bob and Tom at BobandTom.com.